On PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. And Paul is here. Andy is dealing with a sick kid. He may or may not be here a little later. And Eric may or may not be by later. So,
he'll give us an update. And you know what? I think it might be a reasonably informative update today, Freddie. Just judging by some of the...
Is that why somebody else is doing it? Or
no.
Oh.
Eric will be by
later. Oh, Eric's still
later.
Doing it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think first Belichick at his press conference mentioned that, you know, his regular kind of coach speak for a lot of guys are, you know, making progress and getting better and hope to test some of them out, you know, guys that are missing, obviously. And then in the locker room, although very briefly, Aaron Hernandez spoke and just said he's trying his best and working hard and, you know, feeling better, hoping to get back out there. Still says he's day to day. Just got the vibe that maybe some of the guys that are missing, Chung, Hernandez, maybe we'll see some of those guys out at practice, give it a go when we get that injury report later in the day.
Right. Well, I wouldn't be surprised, you know. I wouldn't. I expect maybe not Hernandez, but I expected Chung to be back. Just a few.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not necessarily saying they'll play this week. I'm saying they're closer and they're going to get out to practice, I think.
Yeah.
And that's certainly a move in the right direction.
Was Haynesworth spotted in the locker room?
Haynesworth, I did not see in the locker room. And I spent a little time scouting him out, looking for him, and yeah. I didn't see him.
Okay.
Some of the guys that did speak in the locker room today, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Yeah.
Spoke for a while. They want to run the ball, I think. I think the running backs and the offensive linemen are getting to that point where, you know, kind of like us, like, there's a time and a place. We need to run the ball a little bit.
Okay.
And Belichick mentioned that the production in the running game needs to improve.
Well,
so I don't think you'll see that necessarily against the Raiders, but something to keep in mind.
We'll talk about that. Of course, the Raiders are coming up this Sunday. People still need to get things off their chest, though, about the Bills, so we'll read those emails and take those calls. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. And what else, Paul?
I don't know. What else? What else we got?
Red Sox.
I talked to Brian Waters.
Red Sox had a big win last night.
They did. They did. And you misunderstood me. I'm rooting against Lackey, not the Red Sox.
Yeah, but if you root against Lackey,
no,
then the team
I want him to blow up and you win like you did last night, 8-7. They didn't win because of Eric Bedard. there's certain guys, and you know that I'm pretty strong about this. There's certain guys I just can't wrap myself around to embrace as on my team. And I tend to put guys who divorce their wives that have breast cancer in that category.
Right.
You know, besides the fact that he's acted like a reprehensible piece of garbage all season, you know, if he's done it once, he's done it 10 times. He's given up, you know, 8 runs in 4 innings. And when Francona goes out to get the ball from him, he stares him down like he wants to fight him.
Right.
For having the audacity to take him out of the game. You know, if he wasn't making 80 whatever million, he wouldn't have been even starting anymore. I mean, he would have been released. So I don't have a lot of respect for the guy.
Anyway,
that Red Sox moment was brought to you by Fred and Paul.
Right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
I'm curious, what do they have to say about what do we still have to say about the Bills? You said there was some people that still want to vent.
There's still people that are talking about the loss and trying to figure out what it is about this team that's missing. And I think, you know, obviously people are focusing on the defense, as they should, and this whole pass rush thing. And I think they're boiling it down to just a unwillingness by Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia and whoever else is helping out calling the defensive plays of being aggressive. They, you know, and I think that, you know, people are thinking that the Patriots refuse to take chances on defense.
Who is boiling it down to that?
Listeners and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm on board fully with that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to confuse what they've done in the first 3 weeks with, say, Rex Ryan and, you know, with all these, and Greg Williams with all the blitzing. But you don't think they've blitzed a fair amount?
No.
No, I do.
Not enough.
Well, I think when they've been blitzing, they've been getting burnt, like the game-winning play on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think the problem is you're not blitzing effectively. The very first play of the game, the very first play of the season, was a blitz. Rob Ninkovich came untouched off the edge and buried Chad Henne as he threw the ball. Problem was, it was complete down the sideline to Brandon Marshall. So
it's not effective.
That's not going to encourage the coaching staff to do more of it when you're not getting there, A, and B, covering up behind it.
Well, maybe they're blitzing the wrong guys.
I think they. I mean, it was Mayo on Sunday, who didn't get there.
Yeah.
I mean, who? I think you're right. It's the wrong guys, but I think that's a larger problem. You know, I'm not sure that the personnel on this defense is good enough.
Well,
let's put it that way.
That's a problem. I saw you interviewing Brian Waters.
Yeah,
in the locker
I'm
room.
Very upset at myself. I had 4 or 5 different things that I said to myself going in. I want to touch on, and one of the things that I didn't touch on. Was just, I mean, this is a guy who spent his career with Kansas City playing against Oakland, and we're going to Oakland, and I never asked him about the black hole and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I blew it. Yeah. I blew it. And evidently, the writers, when they talked afterward, they
got it.
They did, yeah. He said he saw an old lady in a wheelchair flipping us both birds. So that's something I might have wanted to get on camera. I dropped the ball.
Oh,
I'm really, really upset with myself.
Patriots are leaving a day early than they usually do for this West Coast trip. They're leaving on Friday to get, I guess, acclimated, you know, less time between the long flight and the game.
Yeah, and that is, before anybody says that it's like a panic move or anything, that is
that's
what they do for the West Coast.
Right.
Now, that was the year that we had the back-to-back games. We spent the whole week out there.
Right.
But single West Coast games, we almost always leave a day early.
Right.
I can't think of very many exceptions to that rule.
Yeah, I remember one year we didn't, and we probably lost the game.
And there was even a year that we went to Miami a day early.
Yeah.
I think in 2002. That didn't work well. We haven't done that since.
So, but other than that, you know, it's pretty quiet. I mean, Gerard Warren has been re-signed.
Yes, and I think that's... I think that has as much to do with game plan as anything else. I don't know how you feel about it. I think last week you played a Buffalo offense that spreads the field. Yes, they can run the ball, but they do it out of spread formations, much like the Patriots do. They needed maybe a smaller, quicker guy to get some penetration, Landon Cohen. Maybe he made some sense. This week, total opposite mindset offensively with Oakland. It's a power football team that wants to run the ball between the tackles. And you have a bigger run stuffer in Gerard Warren. I think it's as simple as that.
I saw somebody write that, oh, Gerard Warren's resigned. That's the end of the 4-3. They're going back to the 3-4.
I think there's a chance that you could see it this week because, like I just said, you're playing a run-dominant team and that's your run defense is the base 3-4. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it this week. I would be shocked to see it on a regular basis the rest of the way.
Do you think – I know that Bill is – and the defense has always been multiple. They've always mixed and matched.
What he wants is to be able to play either one with the same personnel. Well, that's what he wants.
But is that hard to do?
Baltimore's done it for years.
You think so?
Yeah. Buffalo's trying to do it now. Now, they don't have the personnel that Baltimore does, obviously. But that's what they're trying to do. That's what the Patriots have –
Yeah, but Baltimore's
Patriots
always
have done
been
it.
Looked at as a 3-4 team.
But they play both. Matter of fact, ask Andy about this if he, you know, hopefully Andy will come. When Andy was at the combine a couple of years ago, he was talking to Ozzie Newsome, the general manager of the Ravens, obviously, and he was talking about his scheme and 3-4 and whatnot. And Newsome stopped and he goes, "Why? What do we play?" And Andy was like, "I don't know," because he caught him. You know, right. I don't think they like to be sort of defined.
Yeah,
you know, much like Bill does here, and it's not surprising they came from the same kind of. You know, they were both together in Cleveland, Newsom and,
right.
and Bill.
True.
But So I do think that they try to do both, and I think the Patriots have successfully done them both. That's good. Just right on cue.
Hey,
right on
here.
Cue, Andy walks in with an orange shirt on. He must be very excited.
but, you know, that's interesting.
I have a quick question for you once you get settled.
But, you know, to me, all this talk tells me that it really does come down to the players.
Yes.
You got to have – the right type of players.
I think Belichick is as gifted as a coach when it comes to schemes and X's and O's as anybody that we've seen. I mean, I don't have a wealth of knowledge to go and compare him to every other guy, but what I see from Belichick every week, to me, you know, we always talk about the things that you see the other teams do. When was the last time you see like a consistent game just get ruined against the Patriots by runaway rushers? Now, you might get a guy, you know, bad game for the offensive line where your guys are getting beat. But how many times you used to see Rodney Harrison come off the edge and just no one touches him, he just kills somebody? And how many times do you see that happen to the Patriots? That scheme on both sides, you know, and you see it happen to other teams all the time. You know, Andy makes the point about centers. And, you know, Copen leaves the game and Conley comes in and you don't even notice the difference. Monday night, the starting center for Dallas couldn't find Romo with a telescope. I mean, it was unbelievable how many times he was either snapping it over his head,
well,
snapping it
yeah,
not on
I don't
time.
Want to get into, Cowboys claim that the Redskins were cheating, and that's what was causing those bad snaps.
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't get into the story, but I did read that headline.
I think all of that stuff, though, to my larger point, is coaching. Andy, we were talking about 3-4 and 4-3 and wanting to use the same personnel and be able to be flexible and use the same. And I said, you know, Fred asked that that's really hard to do. And I said, well, Baltimore's done it for years. Mm-hmm. I was relaying your conversation with Ozzie Newsome from the Combine when you asked him about that. And he was like, why, what do we play?
Because
you know, huh? you don't want to be, they don't
right.
think they're
they don't
defined.
Want to be labeled. Right, right. I think more of it has to do with the willingness of the players. And we have some of those players on this team now. Namely, Albert Haynesworth, Andre Carter, guys who may not be all in on if you tell them to go to back to the 3-4. That for whatever reason, they're set in
their ways.
That's
why I said I don't think you'll see it full time. I think you could see it this week. I think Gerard Warren comes back. I think that's a game plan kind of thing.
Could be.
You're playing a physical run dominant team. Last week you were playing a spread it out, you know, more of a finesse kind of approach. You had a smaller, quicker guy in Cohen. Let's face it, it's not the centerpiece of your defense. But maybe if Haynesworth can't go... And they didn't know that Haynesworth couldn't go last week because he didn't get hurt until Thursday. You want a bigger run-stuffing kind of guy like Gerard Warren against Oakland as opposed to Buffalo. But I think you could see some more 3-4 base in this particular game. I don't think you'll see it. I would be surprised to see it on a regular basis going forward.
Did you see the thing I retweeted from – I follow something that I found – relatively useful in that ESPN stats and information or something. It's a Twitter feed of their
about
stat geeks.
Not having two backs in the backfield.
No.
Okay.
Darren McFadden, who leads the NFL in rushing, leads the NFL in yards before contact, but
wow.
isn't good at yards after contact. Which is what I one of the things I criticized.
Like Bo Jackson.
Dumb. one of the things I didn't like about him coming out, I thought he had really skinny legs, lower legs, and would go down
easy.
At contact. I haven't watched enough plays this year, but apparently so that's still kind of the same MO.
Is he a product? Oh, is this your not so subtle way of saying
I
wasn't
was right?
Wrong?
No, it's my way of saying basically, if you play decent run defense against him, he's not that good.
You can bottle him up.
Me, unless you give him a big hole to run through, he's not that good.
To me, though, McFadden's performing this year like we thought Reggie Bush would when he first got in the league. Because Reggie Bush goes down fairly easily.
But he's a bigger guy. I mean, that's the difference with McFadden. He's bigger, but he's a little top-heavy.
Yeah, Bill,
and I always
really
thought if you slash at his legs, if you get an arm or something into his legs, he goes down.
Bill really scoffed at the Reggie Bush, Darren McFadden comparison.
Oh, did
today.
He?
Yeah, someone actually asked him that.
Yeah, oh, really?
I don't really see it either.
Yeah, I don't either. He said they're both explosive, but they're really two totally different players, totally different styles.
Reggie Bush is a dancer, a guy who can make a lot of moves.
I think
McFadden is not that. He's quick with his cuts. He's like a, you know, a one cut type guy with elite speed and elite breakaway ability, but he's not looking to
shift left, shift right.
He's looking to see a hole, hit a hole, make a guy miss, cut, whatever. It's a more of
He'd have been great back in the day in Denver.
Oh yeah.
He'd have been great.
Certainly.
And with that style, one cut and go. Some of those stats, you know, and I like them. I think they're very interesting. I think that's the way you put it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much to read into. Like he had a 70-yard touchdown run, McFadden, this week.
Where he went untouched?
No.
Oh.
He got touched about 5 yards.
Oh, I was going to say, because that would sway things early in the year.
Does he get 65 yards after contact? Or is, like, what is considered contact? Do you know what I mean? Like, if anybody touches him, is that contact?
Ask Bill Clinton.
You know, and like, I saw something on the
contact with that linebacker.
Along the same lines, I saw something on the Patriots offense, the passing game. Right now, they're leading the league in yards after the catch. They have 600 and something yards after catch. I don't know.
Welker helped that out with
one catch. But you know what I mean? Because I think Brady's been driving the ball downfield consistently all three games.
Right.
It's not just been, well, we're throwing little short stuff and then breaking tackles or whatever. I mean, they've had a number of balls that have traveled 20-plus yards that have been completed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when you look at some of those numbers.
Not the dink and dunk yards after catch.
Gronkowski's catches are, you know, 15 to 20 yards.
But he's had some that he's added another 20 yards.
Welker's had some, too.
And Welker's added 70 to a 20-yard catch. And sure. So
those had probably the big caught Slater in the first game.
Welker's probably caught
that
more.
That one was mostly through the air.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Runs yards after catch.
Yeah. I mean, but the 99-yarder, the ball was in the air for 30.
Right.
And he still gets 60 after the catch.
Right. 69.
Right. That kind of skews your numbers sometimes.
But 600 is still a lot.
That's a lot. It's a lot of yards.
Even in the Miami game, that's only half of
Did you see that today?
Two something. No.
Yeah, and I guess us in Houston are the only two teams that have yet to run a play out of a two-back set.
Well, maybe we're looking in that direction. We tried out a couple fullbacks this week.
But I immediately thought to myself,
well, I don't think they like the way that
exactly.
Goes.
I don't think it's true. I mean, I don't care what the number of the guy is.
He's not a running back.
We've had a number of plays where we've had two guys in the backfield.
That's BS.
But maybe that's why they tried out the fullbacks is because Fletcher at fullback isn't working.
But Fletcher did it. Hernandez did it.
Oh, but no matter who it is, it's not working. They got to the goal
line. No, I'm just disputing the stat.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on the it's not working thing.
Well,
because they got stuffed on two plays.
Well, maybe
how many times did they get stuffed on the goal line in the first two games?
You know, maybe that's why they decided to bring in the fullbacks is because they don't like using these guys as fullbacks.
That might be. That might be. But I think it's – and Andy jumped right on it before I even got to it. It's inaccurate. They've used two backs.
Oh, sure.
They just don't have two running backs.
Right. There's no guy on the team that's a fullback. That's true.
And I think that's just part of Bill's philosophy of roster manipulation and saving spots here and there and having guys that are flexible. They could easily have Lusaka, Polite, or whatever his name is, and to me, waste a spot for a guy who's going to play three snaps a game.
Were they getting a little too cute in Buffalo with handing the ball to Edelman?
I didn't care for it because I wanted to see Stephen Ridley.
I didn't like the traditional run with Edelman.
I think they may be setting something up. I got to give them the benefit of the doubt and say there'll be something off of this down the road where Edelman is in the backfield for a while doing this, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's why they were doing that. So I don't think it was just a flat out, we got to get Edelman some handoffs.
He had two carries, right? One was like an end around, and the other one was a flat
out. True.
I didn't like the true run.
I don't like either unless, again, they're setting up a big play that I'll say, see that 90-yard touchdown?
That doesn't work if you didn't set
it
up.
They laid the foundation in Buffalo. But otherwise, I want Stephen Ridley to get, if we can't go to Green Ellis, if we decided it's not his day and he's going to have 1 point whatever a carry that he had, Ridley's my next in line.
I'm pretty close to being all in on the Riddler. I really, really like him.
He looks like he turns his back to the defense.
He does. And I wonder.
That leads to fumbles, injuries, and bad plays.
Injuries, especially. He exposes himself to some hits. He's going to have to learn that. But he runs angry. I mentioned this to Andy. I should have used that as one of my random thoughts. He runs angry.
I just like that he runs far. That he seems to maximize the carry. Whereas everybody says Green Ellis maximizes it, but he doesn't. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. He might get you the 4 yards if they're there. He's not looking for more. But Ridley has shown me the ability to get more, just flat out get more yards.
And that's the other thing with McFadden.
What?
You know, you could make an argument, you know, Green Ellis, you know, you give him a 4 yard carry, he'll get the 4 yards or whatever. And maybe he'll push the pile. I'll take a guy who gets the the no yards after contact, but he's certainly finding a way to make those guys not touch him enough that he's explosive.
And you have to give some credit to the offensive line in the scheme that they're getting him the ball with enough space so that he's quote-unquote not having contact.
How many tackles throughout his career did Barry Sanders break? You know what I mean?
Right.
He probably didn't have a ton of yards after quote-unquote contact.
But after missed contact, he had a lot.
And I think that's part of what McFadden probably does, to have as many big plays as he
does. Bottom line is, if you got 500 yards rushing through three games, I'll take it, however it's coming.
And let's face it, he's not playing against sub-defenses.
Right.
He's playing against defenses that are designed to stop him.
Absolutely.
Eight men in the box.
This may be a little twist on my story that I'm writing on all the projected numbers, Paul, for the next Patriots Football Weekly. But have you noticed everything is inflated? We're through 3 weeks, so you multiply everything by like 5 point whatever to get to a 16-game schedule. Well, so McFadden's on pace for 2,500 yards rushing. Five quarterbacks are on pace to break Dan Marino's record. DeMarcus Ware is on pace for 25 sacks. The great players are dominating. I think we missed that a little bit. We said that great teams would dominate because they have continuity, blah, blah, blah. They'll win games. The Packers will be good. Patriots. Great players are dominating. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of their getting matchups at times with bad players and they can maximize. But you multiply the leaders at everything.
Right.
Wes Welker is on pace for 2,500 yards receiving.
It might just show you that the great players need less training.
Right. That talent
and
is prevailing right now.
They have a faster start.
Right, that's the true talent. No, they rolled out of bed for three games and said,
I like
I'm good.
It. Make it a blog post.
Okay.
It's a good story.
Well, it's going to be part of my story in the paper because we're projecting. I like to project. It's one of my favorite things to do. After three or four games, you project, whoa, this guy's going to have 25 touchdowns. This guy's going to do this. Gronkowski's going to set the all-time touchdown record. Moss, move over. It's Gronkowski. Can you imagine if he does that?
Fed, do you want us to stop writing the paper?
No.
Yeah, everything now he says, make it a blog post.
Make it a blog post.
No, I don't.
You just gave me the word. I'll pull the plug.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Want to remind people that if you have an iPad, the Patriots iPad app is now available. And I just looked, we're number six.
Wow, we're going to be number one soon.
Number six. I mean, we just jumped over Yahoo Fantasy Football.
Wow, when you're bigger than Yahoo Fantasy Football, you're big.
I don't know how the algorithm works. I'm sure it's not, you know, since the beginning of time.
If it's science, you can't answer it.
Yeah, well, but if it's science fiction, I'm all over it.
Exactly. I need an apology. I do believe the day the iPad came out like a year ago or 2 years ago when they announced it was called an iPad, I mocked the name, said it was stupid. Why would anybody ever want one? Why would they carry one? Idiots. Well, luckily for Apple, Steve Jobs knows a hell of a lot more than I do because it's phenomenal. That's my apology. I was wrong.
Yeah,
Paul, I was wrong, technologically speaking.
Well, obviously, had nothing to do with football, obviously.
I'm still 100%.
Yeah, I did get the definitive answer, by the way, from my medical source, and it is identical, the DNA.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's exact. I think one of our listeners wrote in and said it's split. You know, that's exactly what it is.
Why are there no science fiction movies with, like, good twin, a bad twin, raping and pillaging?
Are you kidding me?
Oh.
There's been tons of stories about the good twin and the bad twin.
And yet you couldn't answer this question yesterday when you were asked about it.
So even in science fiction, you don't know
what
you're talking
about.
Talk
with your mouthful. All right. We got a lot of emails we got to get to, and we're going to do that right after this.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Birds! I need you. What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Birds!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Birds!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Hey, how come it's called the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, but I don't hear any Subway commercials?
They didn't buy any spots.
So they sponsored the studio, but they didn't buy any spots?
No.
You should think one would come with the other, right?
To be honest, I don't even think they have radio spots in any of our programming, whether it be WEI or us.
That doesn't make sense. I think there's a screw-up there.
They have TV stuff, I know.
You know, $5 foot long with, like, Jay Glazer and Michael Strahan and all these people, Ryan Howard. Yeah, I don't know that I've ever heard a radio one.
Interesting. Tell them, you know, if they want to write something up, Andy will read it for them.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as they give him some footlong subs.
Sure.
Andy fancies himself as a VO expert.
Yeah, now. He's a live read specialist. Yeah. I know.
Well, it is true. Time now for the JetBlue High Flyers of the Week. Fred will go with Julian Edelman to be big on special teams.
Did you like that pick?
It's fine.
I love Dick.
I was thinking, you know, they need a spark. And, sometimes that spark comes from special teams.
I think it is a good pick. I'm not necessarily sure that this is the week because of Oakland. First of all, you can eliminate kick returns.
Right, because Janikowski.
Janikowski will put them all through the end zone like he has so far. Lechler, you have a shot on Lechler because sometimes he goes the distance route but doesn't necessarily get the hang time. And sometimes he kicks them so far, he out-kicks the coverage.
Right.
So I suppose if you give him some space... You know, even if you're kicking a 65, 70-yard punt, if he gets about 10, 15 yards to sort of pick and choose. I think he's a tough guy to get in the open field. So not a bad choice.
Let's go to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. And, of course, the phone number on the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Chris, otherwise known as T-Dot, writes in. He says, do you think the Pats lost the game to the Bills by throwing four picks, or did the Bills win the game by picking off the Pats four times? It seems like it's all perception and point of view. One way makes it look as if the Pats lost the game themselves. The other way makes it look like the Bills did great things by picking off Brady. Which way do you look at it?
I go with the Pats lost the game by throwing four picks.
Because Brady usually doesn't do that type of thing, right? Or...
Well, more so because I feel like they were in control of the game, if not for the interceptions. I think they had a 21-0 lead, you know, and they clearly were a better team, and they gave it away.
And especially the first one, which kind of changed the game, was not a great play by a Bill. It was a tip ball off Woodhead that...
Yeah, two of them had really nothing to do with the Bills, and two of them, I think you could make arguments, had more to do with what you did, but I'll give credit where credit is due and say McKelvin and Wilson, their two interceptions were good defensive plays.
Taylor is a first-time emailer. He says, love the show, started listening during the lockout, and have been hooked since. Anyway, my question is about the defense. That's a shocker. Do you think we'll see some signings of free agents soon, Sharper or even that corner Benny Sapp? Seemed like a high-motor guy. I believe from Miami, I think they jumped the gun on cutting him. Go Pats, Jets suck. And Taylor is from Frostburg, Maryland, formerly Plymouth, Mass. So do you think we'll see any? Well, they signed Gerard Warren, but you know that's not a really someone that we're surprised at. But do you think we could still see a guy like Sharper or a Benny Sapp or
no?
I mean,
unless I guess he's still banged up. But if you were going to sign a safety, I think you would have signed a safety this week, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if they wanted Sharper, I think he'd be here by now.
Right. Even if he was still hurt,
you change
when you get him here and get him in the system.
Yeah, I think things can change based on more injuries too. But I agree with Andy.
If you wanted to use him, you'd have him here, let him rehab here. You probably believe you could get him healthier faster, and while he's getting healthy, he would have a playbook in his hand.
I'm wondering too.
Benny Sapp, I don't know about. I mean,
well, I was going to say,
I thought he was unfairly let go.
Molden, Antoine Molden. Are you surprised that you haven't seen him on the field at all at this point? Now, I know that he had a late start, but now it's 3 weeks in, and you're struggling back there. You're looking for more bodies back there. I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen anything from him. Is he strictly a special teams player?
But where? Where would you see him?
As you know, in sub-packages, somewhere. Somewhere. You know those situations where you're not necessarily truly a corner or a safety. You're just a defensive back out there trying to stop the bleeding.
I think the problem is your two top corners who are playing the worst, you're not replacing. You're not taking them out. That would cause a firestorm media-wise. I think it would hurt their confidence. I don't think you want to bench either of those two, even if it's for a quarter or a series or whatever. So, yeah, maybe in a rotational role where he's the fourth guy on the field. But Arrington has been the most productive of the corners so far. So I don't know where you'd put him.
Yeah, and listen,
somebody gets banged up.
Don't misunderstand me.
What you need for McCourty, like a little hamstring injury so you can kind of take him out for a little bit to ice him and let everything settle in. Because you can't do it unless he's banged up.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, geez, Antoine Molden needs to get some playing time to solidify that. That's not my point. I'm just looking at it as really nobody's played well.
Right.
In that secondary, maybe with the exception of Patrick Chung.
But at least they know the defense. For all we know, the first game here, they just said, cover that guy.
Could be.
And now when they've tried to get beyond that, he's still struggling to learn.
You brought up an interesting point with the Bodden thing. Like, you know, you're not going to bench those. Would you not consider the fact that Dowling started when he was healthy?
No, because I am of the belief he's not healthy.
He wasn't healthy. Bodden.
Yeah. Between the back and the hand, and then it was the back again. The hand, like,
yeah, he'd be in there.
Playing in the slot, everything.
You're probably right.
I think he's on some sort of a pitch count.
But I will say, if Chung misses many more games, he could make the Pro Bowl.
Well, he typifies the Patriots in general. They've never lost a game they didn't play.
That one went right over my head.
Chung has never graded out worse than 100 in a game he didn't play. Yeah, he was 100 on Sunday. He was the best safety they have.
I made that comment yesterday, I think.
He gets better every day.
It's amazing how much better. And I'm not making fun of him. I think he's played well.
Sure.
I like Patrick Chung. I think he's a good, solid player. But he elevated to a level of Ronnie Lott status
right,
based on his absence on Sunday.
Dan, the bye man, writes in, I was just thinking, yes, defense lost the game. 31 points should be enough to win a game. We need pass rush, blah, blah, blah. Tom Brady didn't throw four picks because he sucked. He threw most of the picks because the wide receivers sucked. In particular, Ocho Stinker sucked. Even Branch was a non-factor. The only person he could throw to was Welker and Gronk, but they both have been doubled almost throughout the game. When Brady threw the last pick, he was forcing the ball to Gronk because he didn't have another option, which Ocho Cinco should provide. Losing Hernandez really makes that big of a difference? Remember, the old championship years, who did they have? Branch, Givens, Graham, no Moss, no Ocho. It was better and more effective running game, screen passes. There is no more dink and dunk. What's wrong with dink and dunk? Won three rings. I just want rings, not stupid fantasy points. Well, I think Dan is getting a little bit. I mean, I think they dinked and dunked a little too. I think they did a lot of different things. You know,
the offense back then was not better than this.
No, there's no way.
The reason that those teams were able to play offense the way they did was because they played defense. This team doesn't.
Yep.
But I also, Brady mentioned specifically about Branch a little while ago, and he was really upset with himself for missing Branch wide open on a third down. So it wasn't just that he wasn't, like Branch was just taken out of the game and he was non-fat. There were opportunities.
And I think
they were so ridiculously productive in that game. It's not like they got shut down. You know, Branch got shut down and your offense went to pieces. Okay. Branch got shut down and your offense had 500 yards, right. 31 points, four touchdown passes.
And I think
it's nothing to sneeze at.
And
here.
I think despite that,
it wasn't double coverage, by the way, on any of the picks.
No. Certainly Welker wasn't double covered. But I think that even if I'm sure Tom Brady would admit, he probably, by his standards, had an off day.
Sure.
I think, even getting the ball tip, I think he would blame himself for that. You know, just.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
You know,
and I think he should.
He should. That was a very low throw.
When you hit a guy in the face, that's not a guy jumping and timing. The guy was just there. You hit him in the face. And I think I'm not going to criticize him for the Gronk one because I think it was just a little bit situational. He looked the safety off and kind of threw before he really came back to it visually. But I can't criticize it. I love that play. I want Gronk down the seam as many times as possible. I think he's already shown on plays that have counted, on some that have gotten called back, that whatever it's going to be, 8 out of 10 times, he's going to make that play. And I really believe that's a great confidence for Brady to have. I think more often than not, if he feels comfortable just throwing it to Gronkowski down the seam, good things will happen. This time, a bad thing happened.
No problem with the play, just the situation. That's what we talked about yesterday.
Emailer writes in, my name is Ryan. I'm a first-time emailer. I have a problem. I'm from Reno, Nevada, and I'm a big-time Patriots fan. I'm actually going to the game on Sunday versus the Raiders. This will be the first time going to a real live NFL game, and I'm very excited. My birthday will be on October 17th, and my loving girlfriend bought me tickets as a present. I know a lot of well-known facts about the Raider fans there, but I was not actually sure about. I'm contemplating about not wearing my jersey. All of my friends, even my boss, said not to do it. They simply think it's dangerous for me to do that. They said that they will harass me and my girlfriend as much as possible, maybe even vandalize my car. Obviously, I don't want that. Since I'm a big-time fan, I decided to wear it anyway. I'm not going to let some hooligans ruin my first game. Go Pats. Please tell me what you think about this. Thanks, guys. You're the best. Keep up the great work.
I wouldn't wear it.
I wouldn't either. I mean, why antagonize him?
I'm going to make it unanimous.
You should be able to, but
you should be, but right. It doesn't matter what should be true. I'll tell you this. I worked in the PR department in 2001. I went to most of the games. I may have missed one or whatever. Only one time was I ever told, don't wear anything with a Patriots logo on the sideline when you're back there. It's not a good idea. It's the only time I was ever told that, and I didn't. So take that for what it's worth. I was advised by team security to not wear a logo.
Now, I suppose if your tickets are like what they consider their luxury area, maybe you could get away with it.
Yeah, but you still got to get in and out of the stadium.
Yeah.
There's people like Paul who'll punch you till you stop breathing.
Right.
Yeah. No.
He just goes, yeah.
Giddy up.
But and what do you gain? I mean, I guess you should have the right, but what do you gain? What do you really gain by it? You can do whatever you want in a regular shirt.
10 years ago, I would have said, just wear your shirt and, be careful. Don't be antagonistic and just keep your head up. You can't do that anymore. Look at the situation that happened with the opening day of the baseball season with the Giants fan from San Francisco at Dodger Stadium. Right. You know, the guy is like on life support.
Yeah.
Is it really worth it?
Yeah. It's not worth it.
Listen,
it really isn't.
Most likely, 99% of the time, nothing happens. But why risk it?
Yeah.
Why risk even a 1% chance of the reason you get yourself hurt is because you're wearing a Patriots shirt? It's not that important to your enjoyment of the game. I would even say, you know what, when you're on the road, and I've been in road stadiums many times as a fan, just keep your head down, kind of keep your mouth shut, cheer for your team when they score touchdowns, but don't antagonize. There's
right.
nothing worse than the guy in your section rooting for the other team who's loud and arrogant and obnoxious.
Right.
Even if you win, you don't win.
Right.
Believe me. So I just would err on the side of caution with that one.
Especially I assume he's bringing his girlfriend with him. You know,
yeah.
It's not like you're with a group of guys and you feel even more comfortable. You got a little more backup or something.
You
got
to love the Fred disappearing act right
in
the middle of the
show. I love how he quietly disappears, but he like rubs the microphone.
Yeah, rubs
his
the microphone
so you can hear.
Leaves it on, makes this huge noise and runs out of the room.
He got like stuck in his fat shoulder.
You want to go to the Ace Ticket hotline? So I'll just control that.
Who's on the Ace Ticket hotline?
It's Tyrone in Delaware.
All right, Tyrone.
Hey, man, what's going on, fellas?
How are you?
Alright, I don't know if you remember me. I'm from St. Thomas. The last time I spoke to you guys was after the Browns lost.
Oh boy, so you picked good weeks to call.
Well, I ain't getting, you know, busy at work, but yo, man, let me tell you what, let me break it down. I was up there for training camp, in August. I was up there, I was trying to get in touch with you guys, man, but man, people was crazy running down there, but let me break it down, man. It's not that we out-scheme our coach and we just don't have enough talent on the field. I mean, it's no other way to explain it. You know what I'm saying? You didn't want to overpay for Gerard Page, but you overpaid for Sean Ellis. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on again, and we just don't have enough talent. I was watching the Saints and the Texans play, you know, I was flipping on and off. Drew Brees, they had a good day, good game until, like, the second half. But a team like that got playmakers all over the field, they can withstand a four interception day by their quarterback because they got playmakers all over the field.
Well,
Green Bay, another one. But we don't have it. We got one playmaker on defense, which is Vince Wilfork. You got Gronkowski, Hernandez, Welker, and Tom Brady on offense. Our offensive line, we can't really complain about it, but that's it. We can't win like that.
Well, I think part of the problem is, yes, I think there's a lack of talent in some areas. Safety is certainly one of them. But the other problem is the talent you do have isn't living up to its resume, reputation, potential, whatever you want to call it. And I would put the first and foremost are the two corners. To me, Bodden and McCourty are two talented corners. Bodden is a legitimate NFL starter, whether you want to call him a number two corner or a lower level number one corner. And everybody thought that McCourty was a true number one, whether he's a top 10 number one, top 15, whatever. Neither of them has looked like starting caliber corners right now. And that's a major problem. When your two corners stink, the rest of the defense is going to follow.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Tyrone. Aaron writes in. He says,
I love how you just pop in now. And thanks for the call, Tyrone.
He says,
and way to go out quietly. And then.
What? What are you doing?
That's what you did when you left.
The deodorant, Mike.
Yes. And I just made ESPN Boston Radio's Adam Pac-Man Jones crack up over there.
I don't hear as many people talking this week about how no team is playing defense in this league. Did someone change last week? If it has, and this defense is really as bad as people are saying, doesn't that at least give credence to the argument that Bill is only as good as Brady? What we're learning is that any team that is able to shut down this offense will be able to beat this team, such as the Jets and Pittsburgh. And two, if teams don't adjust to playing the new defense as called by the officials, how could the Patriots adjust? Let's say this is how it's going to be for the next few years. What is the best thing the Pats could do to be one step ahead of the rest of the league? If the NFL football life on Belichick is any indication, Bill is seeing and thinking the same things we rational fans are. What do you think he's thinking right now? Thanks for all the great discussion. I rely on the podcast, and thanks to the blackouts of PFW through DirecTV, the video posts as well. F the Jets. Aaron from Long Island.
So is it time for John Hanna's theory?
Just got
to
run the ball.
Passing league. It's time to load up on big guards, big running backs, and pound it.
By the way, I still think that no one plays defense in this league.
Well, they don't. Just happened to be last week the games were all 17, 14, well, that's and only 18,
because they, 16. Some of the games involve teams that have no offenses. There's not that many teams that don't have offense.
And the other issue is what I brought up earlier, everybody on these record
also
pace.
Also, a driving rainstorm.
I also think the record pace is the fact that you can't play defense. You're not allowed to play defense. If you can't hit a quarterback and you can't hit a receiver, wouldn't it be logical you're going to have a lot of passing yards? You're going to have five guys ready to break Dan Marino's record? You're getting what you wanted. You wanted fantasy numbers. You wanted passing. You're getting it. I hope you like it. I hope it's really what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Some of us don't.
I don't.
That may be my commentary.
I mean, I thought the offense was fine before they started putting this new emphasis on the...
Not being able to hit anyone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me too.
You know?
That's what I'm talking about. It stinks.
I think offense was okay before that.
Well, you had exciting games. You had Super Bowls where teams put up tons of points.
It's all about the hits, the tackles,
right,
that I think they've gone too far. You know, the over-the-top emphasis on roughing the passer and the over-top emphasis on defenseless receiver. Those two things. The bumps downfield, the illegal contacts, pass interference, that's been the same since 1978.
And they've learned to play with it.
That's okay with me. It's ticky-tack. There are big calls.
There's still a lot of bad calls. Like
absolutely.
The bottom one on the backside when he didn't grab the guy.
Absolutely a lot of bad calls. But you just put it perfectly. They've learned to play with that.
Right.
I don't know how you can play defense when you can't tackle the guy with the football. And there's two different guys that can have the ball that you can't tackle. Wide receivers and quarterbacks. That's a hard thing. They have the ball a lot.
At what point do running backs say, I want to be protected?
Well, they did talk about that a little bit this summer.
No, I know.
And we've noticed, we were talking about it during the game, a lot of whistles. It used to be in the NFL, the whistle never blows. On a running play, the whistle never blows until it's like seven guys on top of the back. A lot of whistles blew on Sunday when running backs were still up. But
maybe that's it.
They clearly had been stopped. They're trying to avoid everything. You know, and that, I don't know how you play defense when you can't tackle the guy with the ball.
You can't. You're damned if you do.
You know Bill's thing, you know, I need my receivers to get open and catch the ball. I need my defensive guys. You got to tackle the guy with the ball. Well, they can't.
Not allowed to.
I don't know how you get past that.
You know, I just wonder how much of this all has to do, you know, with legal liability down the road. You know, you get all these players who are suing the league because of, you know, not having enough benefits and all this stuff. And, you know, if you don't do this, can you argue in court we're doing everything that we can for player safety if you don't do this?
Well, I mean, are there a lot of lawsuits for other industries? You know, coal miners or cops?
I'm sure there are.
Because that would be my question. You go into certain lines of work knowing that there are risks involved, that they're short, long-term, whatever they are. To me, the NFL is no different. You know it's a physical sport. You either seen or heard about people being hurt. We've all seen offensive linemen and guys that can't walk. You know, even young ones. You know, Kyle Brady, Algie Crumpler.
Right.
Those guys couldn't get out of their chair.
Right.
That's why Algie Crumpler's not here, because he's banged up.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think you have to go into it with your eyes open. You can't be blind to the fact that you've chosen a career. You know, like you
said, this is the business you have chosen. But even if you're a coal miner, you choose that career, you understand the risks.
Right.
But if the coal mine owner doesn't put in place those things that, you know, are expected to be put in place and creates a dangerous situation, you can still sue, even though you
But
knew.
You know what I think the comparison is?
Yeah.
You can't, coal miners, we can't make you go into coal mines. That's the same thing to me. Football is a physical sport. You have to be able to throw, hit, block, tackle.
Well, no, it's
inherent
not
in the game.
Well, the
argument. Because if you go in a coal mine, there's a chance you breathe some coal and there's a chance something bad happens.
The argument is, we're not saying you can't play.
Right?
We're not saying you can't play football.
Just tackle.
We're not saying you can't play football. We're not saying you can't go into a coal mine. We're saying that the conditions have to be changed.
No,
for both.
To me, the only way you can guarantee you won't inhale some coal is if you don't go into a coal mine. The only way you can guarantee you won't be injured on a hit is to take away the hits. And they're taking away the hits.
No, I know.
But I don't see them taking them out of the coal mine.
Yeah.
Because that's the industry you've chosen.
Again, it goes back to, you know, if I had a coal mine and I didn't create the structure, you know, to hold up the, you know, the
Well, that's different.
But that's part of it, you know, and those structures have gotten better over years, and new standards have been created, and if I don't meet those standards, I can be sued.
See, this is different. You're changing that to me is the comparison of helmets. Making sure that you continue to invest a little bit in helmet tech, and they have.
Right.
Everybody's got new helmets.
Right.
Everybody's got this. They're doing that. And maybe some of the stuff in the past where they overlooked concussions and they had that clown doctor.
But that's the thing. Now you
But
know,
now you're changing the sport. You're taking the rules of the sport and altering them.
But see, the whole thing is now you know things that you didn't know 20 years ago about, say, concussions.
Wait a minute. I always knew that if a guy hits me, I could get hurt.
No.
And if he hits me, he could get hurt.
You're going to tell me that the science, the knowledge of concussions is the same as it always has been?
Have they advanced there? That doesn't involve changing rules, Fred. That's medical. That's not letting a guy go back in. These rule changes are physical on the field alteration of the way the game is played.
But it goes into the same thing.
No, it isn't. It's totally different.
See, I'm with Andy. Totally different. And I'm going to give me a second. First of all, I think that we know more, and they're doing a lot more research on the long-term effects of concussions now.
Right.
I don't think they necessarily know anymore that if you hit something with your head, you're going to get a concussion than you did in 1975.
Right.
And I'll say this.
Because I saw it last night. You see, the entire Chronicle show was on concussions.
The guy that was on from the Hockamuck League is a good friend of my father's, by the way,
but
Jody
Smith.
But they
were talking about what they know now is these helmets protect pretty well against head-to-head blow.
But the
they
whiplash.
Don't when they twist and move around. Well, that's an advancement, but they're doing something about it. They're trying. You can't sue them and say they didn't try.
Let me see.
But that's totally different than saying you're not allowed to play the sport the way it's been played forever.
Andy,
that's
inherently
changing the sport.
You tease me all the time for being the old guy.
But they could say. But again, I go back to the whole legal liability. If they didn't try to legislate out these types of hits,
then they need to change the game.
Well, that's what they're doing.
No,
they're
no, no.
Changing
I mean,
the game.
You can't. But you have to make it flag football with no collisions.
It's not the type of hits. This is what bothers me. And they were talking about this on Chronicle last night, and I thought that the doctor did an unbelievably good job of discerning the difference between, you know, it's not the contact sports. It's how the contact is being taught.
Right.
It's teaching. Andy makes fun of me all the time for being the old guy, right? And that's true. I played 7 years of Pop Warner football from when I was 8 to 14, from 1976 to 1982. I had undefeated teams. I had winless teams that I played on. So I had good coaches and bad coaches. All 7 years that I played, every single one of my coaches taught me the same thing. Keep your head up. Never hit with your head first.
Right.
If you do, it's a 15-yard penalty for spearing. And it got called a lot at the Pop Warner level in the mid-70s. Why are kids running around now throwing their heads into things
because they see
because
it
they're
on TV.
Not being taught
that
it's not the way to play.
Yeah,
it's not about rules. Everybody thinks the Brandon Merriweather hit, they're taking that hit out of the game. That hit was an atrocity in 1970.
In the Big Bang Clock.
You can't run and butt things with your head in football. You can't butt things with your head in hockey and expect to come out of it okay.
Right, and
it's not a new phenomenon.
And it's not the other guy that you're hitting. You could jam yourself.
I can't
more
tell you
often
how many
it's
times
the guy who makes the hit.
Watching film
yes,
in high school.
Absolutely.
When my coach would stop it, we had our quarterback also played safety when I was a sophomore in high school, and the kid ended up in the hospital with a jammed neck because he kept coming up to make tackles. Same way, he would have his arms out by his side and his head straight down looking at the ground
right
when he's making contact. Big surprise, the kid ended up in the hospital that night. And Andy's 1,000% right. If you don't do these things properly, it's not because we know more about concussions.
Right.
We knew that was bad 30 years ago.
There's no debate there. You're 100% right. But the fact is, for whatever reason, whether they're not being taught or they think that guys are doing it. And I guess the league feels that the only way we can stop them from doing this is to legislate it out. I guess, but you know, no matter what we say is the right way to do it, and we all know the right way to do it, guys aren't doing it for whatever reason. I don't, you know, whether it's to get on ESPN or just because they weren't taught, like Paul's saying, they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So now if the league doesn't take a step to stop that, can they be sued? I don't know. But I think that's what this is
but
all
I think
about.
These,
it's liability.
But these league
you know,
mandated
they,
rules
they can
are,
say they want to protect the safety of the player, but it's really about protecting their own butts, I think.
Could be.
But why then are hits that don't involve the head part of this?
Because I think of the advancements in concussions and I think, you know, the long-term effects of concussions.
But they're hits that aren't involving the head. defenseless receiver. Is not. I mean, you can't tackle Tom Brady below the waist. It's nothing to do with the
concussion.
Well,
that's a different one. The knee thing is a different
it's,
one.
It's this whole...
It's a hierarchy.
It's like what Andy's talking about. That, they're changing the game.
That's definitely a hierarchy.
No question.
Yeah,
you're taking away defenders' ability to do their jobs.
And they're
because
changing the game.
They either get fined 15 grand because they went through with the hit, and they get flagged 15 yards, which means sooner or later the coach is going to get pissed and you lose your job. So you already lost money and then you lose your job. Or you let up, the quarterback completes the pass... Sooner or later, the coach gets pissed that you're letting up, and you lose your job. Yeah. No matter what, I got to the end of that sentence. The defensive guy loses his job so that the quarterback can stand upright, pick the field apart, put up big fantasy numbers, and make money for the league.
They don't care about
that's not fair.
They don't care about the guy losing the job.
Exactly. They, you know, that's my point.
Because they
only care about offense.
Well,
name one rule that's been to protect the defense.
They care about ticket sales and people watching on TV.
Right.
And, you know, if
listen, you don't
if Sergio Brown loses his job. Okay, but if Tom Brady gets hurt...
Whoa, why would you make a ridiculous comparison? Make a comparison about James Harrison. If he loses his job...
It's still not as bad as if Ben Roethlisberger loses his job.
That may be because of the league they've decided to create.
Well...
It's all their production.
It's fantasy numbers,
it's quarterbacks, it's offense.
I think for as long as we've been watching football, and probably the generation before us, quarterbacks are the most important guy on the team.
Well, I'm not so
They're the stars of the team.
I'm not so sure.
I think
mattered more in the past. I think you heard more about defenses. I think there were more defensive lines, steel curtains, purple people eaters. They cared more.
I think that
they don't care now.
I think
it's
that's
irrelevant.
Accurate, but you've always had marquee
quarterbacks. I know you have, but now they've decided they all are marquee because we're protecting all of them.
Well, you can't just protect Tom Brady.
Well,
you got to protect all of them.
You also shouldn't just
Ray
protect
Lewis would disagree with
him.
Yes,
and when I watch him, slow right. down.
And Michael Vick would disagree with him.
Well, he don't get the calls that everybody else do.
Fred. I think they've gone too far, and I think they will lose people. I don't know if they'll lose enough so that it matters, but people like me who really like football, I think are being turned off to some degree.
I don't think that – see, I disagree. I don't think they've gone too far in the rule. I think the refs aren't doing it right.
No. The refs are irrelevant. I let the refs off the hook to some degree.
I do,
too. It's fast-paced. It's on the league. It's on the field. I blame the league who has 3 to 5 days to review the videotape and then sends Andre Carter and Eric Weddle and all these guys fines.
Yeah, Eric
what did
Weddle,
Eric
by
Weddle
the way,
do?
Got fined for that hit, too, in the end.
You're not allowed to hit a guy and try and stop a touchdown. You're not allowed to hit Wes Welker over the middle. You're not allowed to hit a quarterback.
Well,
you can't do anything if you're a defender.
See, the ref...
Jairus Byrd will probably get fined for that hit on
Welker
this week.
Oh, I'm sure. And the official... I don't blame, because it's a bang-bang play.
They've
do what you got to do, whatever you've been told.
They've
but
been
if you
told,
can review the video,
Kyle Love.
You have
they've
a chance.
They've been told, call that.
Well, and
they're
the,
bad
and
calls
here's the, and here's the problem the league has created for itself. It's the same argument for Hall of Fame. They've created a precedent now that if they didn't find Andre Carter, there's like a slew of guys who have already been fined for the exact same thing that would say, whoa, what are you doing? So now they have no recourse but to find these guys.
I like to go back to my
similar.
Mom's theory. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Well, I know, but
that's two wrongs.
But now you get an agent suing. You know, it's
Boy,
all about,
you are very litigious today.
I'm telling you, that's what this is. It's all about the courts and suing.
Now
and
I'll
legality,
quote Rocky Five.
Liability.
I mean, F you, sue me.
I know your point, but do you think it's right?
No, it's not. But this is what it is. You know, they'd rather err on let's be consistent. And let's fine everybody. Then, you know what? This one wasn't.
Yeah,
I know that one
I
2 weeks ago wasn't either, but.
I see your point, but I just think it's the rules. They've created their own mess.
And would they win?
That's what I said.
With the rules.
Are judges really willing to, I thought all, you know, they kind of were hands off. You know, they have all these rules. It's antitrust and you kind of police your own. And unless you're really over the top, egregious, asleep at the wheel, Are judges really going to take these cases and treat them seriously?
I think when, you know, you have an individual who comes in with his wife and, you know, he can't think straight anymore, you know, you get a jury of your peers, you know, there, but for the grace of God go I.
I just think,
you
to
know,
me, that would be a layup for the
great
defense
song, by
attorney.
The way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Great 70s disco song.
I just think is it not true that this player began playing football long before the NFL was involved at the Pee Wee Pop Warner high school level. So he knowingly engaged in a sport before the NFL was involved in any way that he knew could get hurt. I just think it's a layup for a defense attorney to defend that.
I know, but
whatever.
All these players now, these older players are saying, geez, I wish they spent so much time worrying about our safety when I played.
Right. And so to,
You know,
the advancements can't come
because it never happened before. Is not an excuse in law to not make changes. Well, that's the way it's always been. That's not an argument.
But is the NFL treating it that way?
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're not.
But
you're
talking about safety versus changing the game. There's two different issues.
Well, sometimes you have to change the game in order to implement that safety.
Does every game not have inherent risks?
It does.
If you're allowed to block a shot in basketball and you miss and hit him right on the top of the head and break his spine,
I know.
Well, we shouldn't have blocked shots in basketball if you defend that.
But
it's a slippery slope.
But someone in court could reasonably make the argument that reasonably you could limit some of these risks without changing the game too much. And if you don't do that, then you're liable.
Is there a more dangerous position than 60 feet 6 inches from home plate when you throw a fastball?
Absolutely not.
Now
there
you're is talking not. Andy Hart.
Now you put an L screen
put
in front
life
of him.
On the line.
He couldn't possibly get hurt with an L screen there, right, Paul?
Yeah,
couldn't
hard.
Possibly get hurt.
Yeah, it's just hard sometimes to throw behind, though.
Oh, but I think it's hard for a defender to tackle a guy without tackling him. I find
that
inherently difficult.
That would be the baseball equivalent to what they do with quarterbacks,
right?
Having pitchers use L screens.
And pitchers, I thought, made a lot of money. I thought C.C. Sabathia was very well paid and was a star in this league, and Felix Hernandez and Roger Clemens going back, but they still make them stand from a ball that's coming back at them 110 miles an hour, correct?
Well, can I stick with baseball for a second, Freddie, and give you something?
Sure.
You love to make fun of baseball, and I always, you know, defend it.
Right.
There's no defending this. Do you know the Red Sox either already have or are about to sign Bruce Chen to pitch the playoff game tomorrow, if there is a playoff game? That is the absolute theater of the absurd. You play 162 games, and on the 163rd, to see who gets into the playoffs, you're allowed to make a trade with another team and get one of their players to pitch a game. That is, he can't participate in the postseason if they make it, but the fact that you can do that in baseball.
I thought the trade deadline was over.
Yeah, so he has to pass through waivers.
Oh, okay.
And he will.
Yeah.
I thought it was Ted Lilly.
Well, everybody's writing Bruce Chen.
Oh.
The theater of the absurd that a major league sport would allow you to just sign a guy that didn't spend 1 second with your team all day on the last day of the season.
You could do that in football. Like, you could sign a kicker that could win the game
not
for
off
you.
Another team.
No, he'd be a free agent.
No, this isn't a free agent.
Right.
This guy pitched for Kansas City all year.
Yeah. But couldn't you tell somebody to release somebody in football?
Well, I think, to me, here's my bottom line. Here's my personal
opinion.
Tell
someone to release somebody.
Jerry, it's Bill. I need a kicker.
Angelo?
Let Gould go.
Angelo? Jerry Angelo?
Yeah.
And the other thing, by the way, the Twitter guy is making fun of me. I didn't sing the $5 footlong song. That was Andy.
Oh. Here's my bottom line in this discussion. These egregious hits and the head first hits, if there's a way to get them out of the game, I'm all for that.
Oh, me too.
I agree. I'm not anti-safety.
It's all the ticky-tack ones.
Right.
I'm anti-ruining the game.
The Kyle Love hit from Sunday.
Right.
That needs to stay.
Right.
It's the Antonio Gray hit, just to be fair, on Brady.
Yeah.
I think that there's nothing wrong with that hit.
Or the one on Welker that they called. I thought that was fine. That was an okay hit.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Oh, it will be, yeah.
That's a joke. I'm sorry. That's a joke.
Yep.
The league is a joke.
Now, I think that they can get rid of the guys that are flying across the middle with the sucker shots are absolutely unnecessary.
What do I always say?
It's football. Keep your head up.
No, you moron. There's only one penalty needed, unnecessary roughness.
Right, and you know it when you see it.
The guy that dove at Brady's feet was not unnecessary roughness. Eric Weddle was not unnecessary roughness. The guy this week was Welker, not unnecessary roughness. Andre Carter, not unnecessary roughness.
Right.
Yet they were fined 15 yards. I mean, penalized 15 yards and fined 15 grand by the league.
I agree with
That's a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. None of them
were. And I would throw Kyle Love into that.
Yes. Well,
none of them were bad form.
None
of them had an intent to injure.
No.
You know?
I like the old day when you knew when a bad play was, they called it. When you pick up Jim McMahon and throw him to the ground, everybody on earth knew that was re-goddamn-diculous.
Right.
Now you don't know what to do. And I think it's dangerous for defenders. Don't coaches always tell you if you're playing
you're playing not to get hurt,
that's when you're going to get hurt?
That's right.
Well, that's what these defenders are left with when they're a half a step from a quarterback. And then what happens when a running back comes out of the blind side and hits them and paralyzes them? Now I'm suing your league for making rules that put me at risk at the cost of the quarterback, right? You want to sue? I'll be suing.
Well, that'll come. You watch. When was the last time
anyone sued the league other than Al Davis?
That's a whole different
Well, they've tried.
But they
recently.
But these are just these background, and they're not even about safety. They're about health care.
They're about taking care of me after I got hurt.
I knew I was going to get hurt.
What you just said, I can see that happening.
I can't.
Someday a defensive player saying, look, you made it so confusing for me that I went out there and got myself hurt and, you know, it could be a career-ending injury. It had, you know, because of the confusion that you created in the game.
So I can we just go back to the rules that always in the rules. Let them play.
You know,
make sure they're safe. You know, don't let them go overboard. Put the right equipment on them. Continue to make advances there, but let's not be ridiculous and change the game.
Nathan says, something that bothers me was at the end of last season when we got knocked off by the Jets, Bart Scott got up on national television and said the Patriots defense was horrible and couldn't stop a nosebleed.
It's true.
That was all I could think of when I saw Fitzpatrick marching down the field Sunday. Also, the Patriots offense looked like 2009. However, instead of going to Wesson Moss, Brady only went to Wesson Gronk, with few exceptions.
Wait, when did he force it to Welker? I missed it if he did.
There were no four. Well, on the four, at the end, on that one drive, I think that, you know, he had to go to Welker. I think that's the only person he trusted with the ball.
But that's no different. He had to go to Kevin Falk on fourth and two. You go to your proven playmakers when the game's on the line.
There was no time where Welker was like double team where he tried to force
where it was
it in
the
there.
Dumbest play ever to throw it to him.
Yeah, now that was a high throw. Welker made a great play, but I don't think it was
It wasn't ill-advised. Yeah. You got to go elsewhere. The open receiver wasn't there. Whatever. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Nathan says, when might we see Price and Slater instead of 85? I think that they might have more to contribute at this point.
Well, when Price can get healthy, first of all, and know what he's supposed to do out there, second of all.
I mean, I don't think Bill should care, and, you know, but if there ever comes a day where Ocho is inactive and Price is on the field, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's it for him.
I'm
right?
not, I mean.
Mentally?
I don't know that he'd ever be inactive. I think then you just might cut him because you're doing the same thing. It's the same. It's the end of the road, however you want to label it.
Could be.
I think you might just cut him first.
Let's see. Boy, people are...
He's a signing bonus away from being cut, in my opinion.
People are upset. Mike says, Sean Ellis sucks. no, really. Have you watched him? Another bad personnel choice. Plus, we gave him way too much money. His talk of the team needing to be more aggressive is silly. I tell you, compared to last history, this is the most aggressive they have played. Not only are they blitzing plenty... They are playing mostly man coverage, which is more aggressive than the normal soft zone they play. Obviously, it's not working.
Nope.
Do you think cutting Merriweather and him, then signing with another team for three times his salary, kind of undermines Bill a little in the minds of the players?
That's interesting. I don't think so, but it's interesting.
No.
But, I mean, you don't think that some of the defensive players might look at it and say,
cut me ahead?
No, we had two guys playing safety last week that had never really, you know, for the most part, been out there, and we let guys like Sanders and Merriweather go?
Maybe a little teeny bit, but I generally give the guys in the locker room enough credit. They knew what, maybe Sanders, but they knew what Merriweather was. I mean,
and
Sanders' comments.
That, and they're beyond that.
I think they're beyond it, but I think they thought Merriweather stunk.
Yeah, and
personally.
I think
all the players that watch film with him every single week saw the warts.
Yeah, well, the one thing I made a comment with Andy Gresh the other night, and he was saying how, you know, for those of you who wanted Brandon Merriweather out of town, you know, this is, and I was thinking, and I said, I stopped him in the middle of a sentence. I said, I saw that play with Brandon Merriweather more times than I could count.
Right.
That play with Fred Jackson, with him making Josh Barrett comes up and takes a terrible angle, and he runs right by him. That was Merriweather in a nutshell. So don't try to tell me now that the guy you let go was better than he was. That's bad 2020 hindsight. That's not accurate. He was that guy that made mistakes.
And what did Gresh say?
Well, I moved on before he could get back to it.
You know how Paul works. He doesn't let him respond.
But I agree with you, Andy, because I think that the players in general, players are concerned about themselves.
Right.
I don't think they care, you know. Not that they didn't care about Merriweather and Sanders, but yeah, they were gone. Yeah, it stinks. Those guys, I like those guys. They were friends of mine, or maybe good riddance. I didn't like that guy. And then the next day, it's like, all right, man.
Plus,
I gotta move on.
Which guy would be pointing a finger right now? Certainly not McCourty and Bodden saying, if we had safety help, we'd be fine, because they've sucked. Certainly not the pass rush,
no,
the outside linebackers.
But I mean, in general, like,
no, but
like,
I
could,
think,
like, in theory, could Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo say, well, geez, we should have two more NFL caliber safeties back there playing, and we don't.
Maybe one of them, but that's it.
I don't think.
And
I don't think
Mayo
happened.
Should. I don't think it is either. But I think they realize they all suck right now, front to back, left to right, however you want to put it. No one's doing their job on that football field.
But I agree with that emailer. I think they have been aggressive this year, more aggressive than they've been in recent years. And I'm not just talking blitzing. I'm just saying their overall mindset defensively, with, you know, getting upfield a little bit, playing a lot of man to man.
So when you are more aggressive, it's tougher, because if you screw up, it's more glaring. There's nothing really to back you up. So, you know, you can either stay aggressive and hope they, you know, get with the program, or you go back to the way you used to play defense.
Well, you go back to your cover two, where there's two deep safeties all the time, and that's part of it.
And everybody gets really frustrated on third and nine when, you know, there's a big cushion on the outside in front of Kyle Arrington, and guys are playing pitch and
catch.
The
only difference is, instead of going three plays 90 yards, they'll go seven plays 90 yards or eight plays 90 yards.
Yeah. To me, the biggest thing that I thought that they added to this team that I haven't seen yet was Andre Carter, Anderson, Sean Ellis getting to the quarterback, and they're just not doing it in time.
I agree. They need to do that.
And I put Mayo in there because I thought he was going to be involved with that.
But I do think they need to do that. And listen, they're not the same players, so I'm not saying that Andre Carter needs to be DeMarcus Ware. But they need to do it without help a little bit, you know, like the Giants. The Giants didn't blitz us like crazy in that game.
Well, now you get back to the talent thing.
That's what I'm saying.
And
I know they're not.
But we all
that
thought
good.
They were talented. We thought Andre Carter was better. It's part of the reason why in week two it was they'll be okay because it's new to them, but they have talent. They have resumes.
Yeah,
well, right now they just stink. I'll put them with McCourty. Forget the resume. Forget the Pro Bowls. Forget this guy was this guy. What have you seen for 3 weeks? Not much. That's all. You are who you are.
Nick in Maine says, let me start off by saying that I fully believe that the Patriots will improve and get back on track, but there are serious issues that lead me to believe we will have another early exit from the playoffs this year. Let the rant begin.
Go.
Now, we have learned what happens when Brady doesn't have an exceptional game. Now we know what happens when you trade away all of your depth at the safety position. Now we know what happens when you refuse to address the pass rush through the draft year after year, and now we know what happens when you choose to go with so-called value players instead of opening your wallet to keep your own talent. The defense is an absolute joke. I laugh at everyone who says we are having a slow start and we will turn it around. We have one of the bottom three overall defenses in the league, and we are even worse at defending the run this year. You can't stop anyone in this league with Josh Barrett and Sergio Brown. I've been a huge advocate of Ocho Cinco this year, but my confidence is declining. He was responsible
so is
for
his.
One of Brady's picks running a terrible route, and he dropped a touchdown catch that could have changed the game. Devin McCourty and all of the other corners are flat out terrible. Three games is enough to qualify as a trend, and they look like the worst secondary in the entire NFL, maybe even throw in the UFL and CFL in there as well. The defense is the problem, and it will be until we address it through the draft and through big free agent moves. They were bad in the first two games, but Brady covered up for them with amazing performances. Brady threw four picks, and we still put up 31 points. But Bart Scott was right. Our defense can't even stop a nosebleed.
Now, that was last year. I don't know what it is now. It's like blood thinners. They're actually adding blood thinners to the nosebleed.
I'll finish
you know, it's
by
funny
as
Bart Scott's can't stop a nosebleed either.
I'll finish by saying that I know the offense will get back to dominating and Brady will step his game up, but that didn't work out for us last year with an arguably better defense. I hope you guys at PFW can quell my concerns.
Nope. Move on.
Andy sure can. He's on a tirade. He's just like you.
Well, like me, or like the emailer?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
I like want that's your role on this show. So go.
It is Wednesday.
Well, it's time for you to tell us why
we're wrong.
Right.
You know, so I do think that with the changes that they've made this year, it is going to take a little time. It may not work. You know,
so you think this is scheme related?
Do I think it's scheme related?
The acclimation to the scheme.
Yes.
Okay. That's where I think it's about guys not winning one-on-one battles. McCourty, Bodden, the guys up front. I don't see anybody who's winning against the guy across.
Yeah, McCourty I'm going to single out as maybe I agree with you there.
But he could be scheme-related. He's playing man. He wants to play zone.
But I think that the fact
that's
that
a bigger problem than we even know, if that's accurate.
Yeah, the fact that he's not winning at least half his battles is hurting, I think, the whole defense.
I agree.
I really do. You got to knock down some passes sometimes.
I agree.
More than one a game.
It's not good when his main strength is having 11 tackles at the end of the game because they completed all these throws on him.
You got to break
two cornerbacks,
you know,
one, two, and
if
tackles.
You're the number one corner, you got to break up some of those passes. Right. And he's only averaging like one a game right now out of 10 targets or whatever it is.
Right.
You're not doing a good job getting me.
No.
You're supposed to be getting me positive.
No, but the beginning of the email actually made me the most worried. It was like, I expect them to improve, but they're going to be a first-round knockout again in the playoffs. And if that's accurate, then you haven't improved because...
That's what you were last year.
Yeah. Well, right. Not only that, but if your concern is you're going... We know the offense is good. So if you're going to get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, it's going to be because of defense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So...
Theoretically. That's the offense contributed to the last loss last year.
By the
year.
Way, 92 is at practice.
Contributed.
Oh, Haynesworth.
Yeah. So... let's go to the
He's not good enough to just register as a number in my mind. You need to say Haynesworth.
I would have to have seen that guy in 92 once to know who you're talking about.
That's very nice.
The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Steve in Toronto's on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Great show.
Thanks.
Two things. Well, three things. First, I'm getting my Pro Football Weekly, Patriots Football Weekly every Thursday, which is great.
Tremendous, across the border even.
But it's the Thursday yep. after the game.
No, I'm getting it, you know, on Thursdays.
Okay.
And which is excellent.
Carol Hardy getting it done. Well done, Carol. Yep.
I just wanted to say thanks for that. And I have two issues I wanted to throw in there. One, I was reading, was it last week, that retired players are suing the NFL and the players' union because... the players' union has reneged on a deal that was made.
Supposedly.
About, what was it? There's about, they were supposed to get a certain fixed amount, and they're getting like a third of what they were agreed to.
Yeah, I don't know the exact numbers, but yes, they are suing the league and the Brady et al. Defendants and all that.
And that, to me, chimed into your earlier discussion about older players not getting taken care of, and it turns around. It seems to me that the younger player, the current players are just turning their back again.
Yeah, that may be, but that's a negotiated issue about health care and that type of thing. I'm questioning those guys are already hurt. They already played the league under certain standards. That's different than suing and saying, you didn't protect me the way you're protecting Tom Brady. I can't walk. I have a limp because of that. You owe me $20 million in damages. That's not what these are. These are, you owe me retirement. You owe me health care. You owe me the ability to take care of myself for the damages I received doing the job for your league. I have no problem with that. I think you should take care of them in terms of health cost, health care.
Yeah, because isn't the reason players are getting paid the way they are is because of what these guys did in the 60s and 70s.
Sure. I mean, that's the foundation upon it. Yeah.
So it's kind of reprehensible that they're not taking care of them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know all the numbers and the exact details and who's asking for what, but yes, I think that guys that were injured on the job legitimately and have all these issues from playing in the NFL should be taken care of.
I mean, like John McKay, who everybody says is either the 1 or 1A greatest tight end to ever play the game.
Mackey.
You know, I read a story that, you know, he was suffering from dementia.
Right, well,
Something along those lines.
Yes.
And you know, and he wasn't getting proper care, et cetera.
Yeah, they should be taking care of him. And I don't even care if the dementia came from, proven that it came from football or not. He's one of your own. You built a league on guys like him. Take care of him. You're making billions and billions of dollars. Find a way to take care of him.
Okay, my second point here, and this one's kind of like out there a bit. Is I'm wondering about specifically, particularly last playoff loss when Mr. Kraft was upset and said, you know, we needed a plan, et cetera.
Need a game plan, right?
Yes.
And the current firestorm and state of the defense. I'm wondering, I can see there's only two ways. Either Bill Belichick has lost it and it's time to move on, or he's got sort of a plan in mind where he's sort of seasoning the defense and the offense by fire here. Where he got rid of Sanders, he got rid of Merriweather, he got rid of a lot of people that, you know what, they didn't get the job done before and he didn't see any upside to them now. He figures they plateaued out.
Well, you know, Steve, I definitely think he felt this defense needed change, otherwise he wouldn't have done everything he's doing. But as we saw in that video from the 2009 season, there comes a point where he's standing on the sideline and he says to Tom Brady, I just can't get these guys to play the way I want them to play.
Right.
And I hope we're not seeing that, you know.
Well, I'm, that's what I'm trying to say is that I think maybe he's trying to throw them into the, he's got guys where he thinks there's an upside, so he's trying to throw them into the fire, so to speak.
Right.
To get them ready for the playoffs when it does matter, and when it, you know what I mean?
Like, well, I would say that, yeah. But isn't that the case every year, though? You know, you do what you think is right, and you just gotta throw them out there. And
but you don't plan on them failing. I can almost see the face he'd give me if you ask him something like, Andy, believe it or not, we never plan on failing.
No.
We don't try to throw four interceptions
right.
every game.
I mean, he put them out there. They may not be living up to what he thought they could be in terms of talent, ability,
thanks for the call, Steve.
Scheme, but I don't think he intentionally, I mean, maybe in the preseason you do that, where you try to get guys lined up in worst case scenarios to see how they react.
Yeah,
you don't do that in week 3 of the regular season when you're trying to win football games against division opponents.
Well, no, you're doing what you think is best, but in the back of your mind, you could say, you know, this is a work in progress.
It is, but it's more of, I know what Merriweather is. We can't win with Merriweather. Maybe we can win with Barrett. Maybe he'll be better after a season. There'll be some bumps. There'll be some hurdles. He can go further, or at least maybe there's a chance he can go further.
It's Bill's old incline thing.
Right.
You know,
once
one
you
guy
plateau.
Is at a certain point, another guy is maybe lower, but he has an opportunity to get higher after a certain point. I wonder, you know, Steve's call was interesting because I wonder if maybe I think we all talked about what he did last year on defense. Belichick went real young last year, and we could sort of understand what was going on. You know, he was making decisions on a lot of young guys, Arrington, McCourty, Butler, Chung,
Cunningham,
Spikes,
right.
Dederick, Brace. There was a lot of, you know, twos and threes and below that he was figuring out if they could play. This year, it seemed like he decided some stayed, some went. And then he brought in, you know, the Carters and the Andersons and the Ellises and the Hainsworths. And almost like him saying, maybe I don't think, you know, I don't know how much longer we have here with this core. I know that everybody scoffs because Brady's playing so well about the window closing. That's probably not the right terminology, but can we all agree that he has fewer great years left than he's already had.
Right. He's over the.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
In terms of
he's
career,
closer to
he's
the
on
end.
The back end.
He's closer to the end than the finish.
Sure.
And maybe Belichick looks at that and says, I need to get some proven guys in here because I can't afford to wait for these young guys to be good enough for me to win a title.
That's now, exactly the way it looked.
That's the way it looked in August, right?
But what if they looked?
But now I think they're
good
kind of,
enough.
They're kind of blocking the progress of some of those guys.
I think you can also look at it as he just thought he had a good young core now that he had to augment with veterans. Because
that's what Paul's saying, let's go for it.
It's a little different. There's a little more belief in the young players the way I'm trying to phrase it or position it. And his is more, they're not going to be ready in time. We got to fill in kind of thing.
Yeah, there is a subtle difference there to what Andy and I are saying, but it is the same premise.
But it's almost irrelevant because the young and old suck right now.
Well,
I don't think it's age-related.
That's the thing that's hurt it. Is
young
I think
sucks,
some of the,
old sucks, middle sucks?
Well, the old guys, I think, are not doing what I'm sure that he thought that some of them would do. And worse, they're sort of serving as roadblocks for some of those other young guys that maybe, like a guy like Cunningham, for example, hasn't been on the field.
Right.
You know, is that because of Andre Carter? If Andre Carter weren't here, would Cunningham
That's
be playing in a
3-4?
Or Ellis, whoever. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
I think they've decided he's a left defensive. Let's
go with Ellis then.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think next year, the truly worrisome thing is if the emailer that was before Steve's call said the whole thing about, I think they'll improve, but they're still going to get knocked out in the first round and whatever. If that happens, if you're not any better defensively, really, by the end of the year, or much better, what are you saying next August?
Right.
When, more than likely, all of those veterans you brought in aren't going to be part of the team next year.
You're talking wholesale changes again.
And now you're back to square one.
Right. Right.
No, that's the thing that really concerns me as a fan.
No, it definitely seemed to me that he felt he had some good young players, you know, starting with Mayo, who I still think is relatively young.
I think you can assume that Mayo was a good player.
And you know, my back seven was pretty good. I got Wilfork on the line. If I just augment that line, to me, you know, we got a shot to do this.
Feel like augment? I mean,
it felt like an overhaul.
Well,
to me. Well, to me,
I'm talking
getting
about
Carter or getting Ellis or getting Hainsworth is augmenting. Getting all of them, That's a lot.
Yeah,
Anderson.
That's why I'm
but
saying.
Wasn't there another guy they got?
But it was all Dedrick and Brayton. Now maybe it was
all
health
focused
related.
On the line.
Know.
You know what I mean? He seemed to think, well, you know, everything else, but I'm really going to go for it on the line, get something that we never had before, which is guys who can really rush the passer and create pressure.
Theoretically.
And you looked at that in August, and then you saw the Tampa Bay game, and you're like, that's it. 16-0.
I waited till the second quarter.
And it's just not happening, you know.
So right before the bottom fell.
It's that old saying, you know, no exactly. plan survives confrontation with the enemy. You know, on paper, this plan looked great, you know, but.
I've never heard that.
You never heard that?
I don't think there, you know, as many of those guys that you brought in.
No plan, sir. I thought the war was won before a single blow was. Or whatever.
Whatever. There's a lot of sayings out there.
The Shih Tzu guy or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Shih Tzu?
What's
his
name?
A little dog?
No, what's the guy's name? The Art of War?
The Art of War.
Shih Tzu or Cao?
Shunzu.
Anyway, can I ask a question? This is going to be super reactionary negative. I say that going in, so don't anybody waste time sending me an email. But had Belichick not won the Super Bowls, and I know you can't, it's hard to erase those, but a similar progression over the last few years, would people be saying, maybe he's just been there too long? Maybe, you know, the message is lost. You know, they're not advancing. Maybe they've plateaued as an organization, as a team, because they haven't found that next level in anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's hard to go into that because let's say he hadn't won the Super Bowls, but you're talking about in a similar progression.
Yeah.
Last year they were 14-2.
Yeah. Here's
all you
thing.
Would be
I know,
doing is hoping.
I don't care about the 14-2, but the reason why I don't think it works is because you can't eliminate the Super
right.
Bowls. Because
right.
I think Andy's point is, yes, I know this system can make me a very good team in the regular season, but I can't win it all with this system.
What did Tony
but
Dungy
I know you
do
can
in,
win it all with
right.
this system.
What did
Tony
Dungy
did
do
it
in
three
Tampa?
Times.
What were Tony Dungy's years in Tampa?
Couldn't get over the hump.
Right? And
right.
he's gone.
Right?
Couldn't
and
get
they
over
bring
the
in
hump.
John Gruden. Like, would right. we be facing a similar view, similar
analysis? Oh, I think that if.
Analysis.
Yeah, I think
right.
that, you know, if
we
you're
would
an
be
owner,
had we not won the three Super
right.
Bowls.
Yeah.
But you can't eliminate the
fact. How long do you live off those before you say.
And as long as
he's
wants.
Been there too long, the message has become stale, his touch has become stale, whatever.
But I think the Glazers could say, we can't win with Tony Dungy. He can only make us so good.
Right.
I don't think Robert Kraft can say we can't win with Bill Belichick. He can only make us so good.
Right.
And that's what makes I understand exactly what your point is.
Right.
But I think it the hypothetical is lost in the fact that they did prove that doing it his way can work.
And what have we talked about with coaches that are in one place for a long time and that don't ever win championships? Eventually their message kind of gets lost.
Yeah, and that would happen to me. That would happen in the regular season too.
Right. But so you're telling me Jeff Fisher would still be in Tennessee if a guy had dove another half a yard?
Yes.
He wouldn't.
Well, it could
no,
be.
No, he wouldn't. Well, he'd be still in Tennessee if they continued to go 13-3 and lose in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, but you win that Super Bowl, and then the next year, guys are so bought in, you have another good. You know what I mean?
I guess it changes
everything.
My bigger point is everything stays too long, whether it's the big three in basketball, whether it's Tom Landry in Dallas or Don Shula in Miami. You always look back and say, they should have changed earlier. They should have gone.
Dan Marino in Miami.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and I'm not trying to say we've reached that point here, but there is a point, correct? There is a point where you say, maybe 3 years ago, if we had gone a different direction, we'd be ahead of the rebuilding process post-Belichick, post-Brady. Right?
Yeah, but I
think when do you reach that point where you say he's spinning his wheels? The traction isn't there anymore.
I think when he stops winning.
So regular season winning is enough.
Oh,
it's hard to say that he's reached that point when they, when they went 14-2.
I really want to avoid the emails calling me a moron.
Yeah,
it's more of a philosophical discussion.
Pete Carroll thing where, and I know he was only here 3 years, but he started in playoffs and then ended 8-8. You could see the direction it was going.
You know, I think if Jeff Fisher, Andy, to answer your analogy.
This defense is pretty bad.
If Jeff Fisher didn't lose, you know, how many, he had like 4-12s.
Right.
Mixed in there.
If
he continued to go 10-6, 11-5, 12-4, and losing the playoffs, he'd still be there.
But the difference I would argue personally is he didn't run the show, right?
Well,
he had Floyd Reese and he had other people making decisions. Bill Belichick, this is his show. So you have no excuses. If you don't have the linebackers you need, it's because you didn't pick the right ones, you didn't draft them, you didn't sign them.
Right. And if they stop winning, I think that you're. I don't think that you just have a job for life because you won three Super Bowls if all of a sudden you start stringing together non-playoff seasons
right.
and going 5-11.
It is about winning.
I think that you do look at it and say, hey, he's doing it all. He's picking all the players. If he can't get the players that he wanted to play the way he wants them to play and we can't get to the playoffs, I don't care what he did 10 years ago. We have to make a
move. But isn't this the same
progression? What do you think about Andy Reid?
What do I think about him?
I mean,
do you think he'd ever get fired?
Yes, I think he could be fired.
Only if they don't make the playoffs consistently.
Yeah.
But if he keeps going to the playoffs every year and can't win the big one,
he's probably
going to stay there.
But aren't we in a progression? I mean, couldn't you view this in 10 years and saying, well, they went from winning Super Bowls to then they couldn't, you know, win in the playoffs, and then they didn't make the playoffs 1 year, and then they didn't have a
that happened,
then they
weren't 500. But now you're talking about a downward.
Now you're talking about this, and I'm with you.
But that hasn't happened yet.
Well, we don't know.
You know, 2009.
We don't know whether we've gone down and back up or if we're going
down. 2009, they didn't have Brady. 2010, they had him back and they were 14-2.
2008.
2008, they had Brady. They got him back. And
2009, 2010, they lost in the postseason the first round.
Right, right.
Got their butts blown off the field.
They had a better regular season. You know, and so maybe
I think they're going to have another good regular season.
Yeah,
so I think it's going to be hard.
But what if this regular season is 12-4 or 11-5, and you still make the playoffs, and then you go out in the first round? To me, when you look back, that may be another progression towards you're going the wrong way.
Do they lose games like Sunday?
I don't know, Paul. All my only point is the 14-2 team that got blown off the field last year has a worse defense this year.
Well,
that's all I know.
At this
point, you ruined it on me. I was all set to do my win-based formula.
At this point right now, you're right, but we'll see. I mean, you have to wait till the season's over, and I know, the whole thing.
You have
thing
to
about,
wait until the coaching career is over before you decide when the coaching career went south.
Let me preface this. Let me foreshadow what Fred's going to do 10 weeks from now when Buffalo is, 9-2. Hey, loss wasn't as bad as you thought. I mean, despite the fact that we threw up all over ourselves to lose the game.
But my point is, Fred, that old quote, what is it, Roosevelt? You know, it's the one in the arena who you can criticize, the one who's actually been there and done something.
Right.
On some level, Robert Kraft has to look at this as a business, as, he can't just sit back and say, when Belichick's done, he's done. Whenever he walks away, if he loses 2 years in a row, if it's going in the wrong direction,
of course not. But
I'm not saying it is.
Yeah, I think it's going to coincide.
But it's easy for us to say we'll look back on a season and tell you if it was good or bad. We'll look back on a career and tell you if it was good or bad. When you're in it, you have to make it good.
Sure,
that's your job.
And I'm sure that's what he's trying to do, right?
Who?
Bill Belichick?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But we've also agreed that coaches that stay in places for the long period at some point are done. What's the old quote? 10% you lose a year, you lose 10% of your locker room every year. Why does nobody look like this is a famous quote?
Because you keep having a lot.
I've never heard of that.
You're throwing a lot of quotes out there.
No, it is. Some NFL coach, a respected leader, believes you lose 10% of your team, your locker room, your message every season.
Hello?
And that's why people you have to turn
around. But that was Rich Kotite who said that.
No, it was. Strippers. Somebody, we need an information guy on this show because I know
you
little
stop
bits.
Throwing quotes out there.
Well, I think
at least mine wasn't. No battle was won when the plan fell apart.
Personally,
when
I think when you got a guy like
fought.
Bill Belichick, you keep him as long as he wants to stay.
Didn't they think that about Don Shula, who has twice as many wins, and about Tom Landry, and then you look back and say
they didn't think it about Tom Landry. Jerry Jones couldn't get rid of him fast enough.
No. But in Dallas, you went too long with him.
I'm not so sure.
When you got a guy like Larry Bird, you keep him as long as you can. When you got a guy like Dan Marino, you keep him at quarterback as long as you can. Yeah, until it was a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, I don't think they're anywhere close to that being a bad idea.
That may be. There's your answer.
But
I
need to see a decline.
I think if you saw the decline, Robert Kraft would have to make a decision.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've seen a decline in drafting. Every time they take somebody in the second and third round, they cut them 2 to 3 years later.
I think the drafting has actually gotten better the last couple of years.
Yeah. I'm not so sure of that.
Then 06, 07. I mean,
well, that was the Pioli era. That's a different
point. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But if we look back 3 years from
like
now,
tipping.
That was a funny line. If we look back 2 or 3 years from now, you might have just as
fewer
players as you do from those.
If Dowling doesn't work out.
And I'm really focusing on this whole discussion is basically the defense, the talent.
Right.
Every time they draft somebody in the second and third round defense, he stinks because you have to say Gronkowski and Hernandez are pretty close to hits. I know Paul likes to wait 3 years to assess a draft.
I do like to wait 3 years because that's what everybody tells me I need to do.
No, but I'm willing to say they're good.
I am,
but
too.
Defensively,
no problem with that.
Brace, Butler, Cunningham, Wheatley, whoever you've
Will
drafted
Hyde,
hasn't worked out. And it's no surprise,
Merriweather,
you have a terrible defense.
Yeah, with the exception of Mayo, there's something about what they're evaluating that
is wrong.
They just can't.
I wanted Terrell Thomas. He's a star. They took Terrence Wheatley.
He really is insufferable.
Yeah.
anybody emailing in that 10% quote yet?
Got a ton of emails. Max in New Hampshire says, good show as always. You're definitely right about the tackling problem of leading with the head or just launching for a big hit. I'm not a huge fan of rugby and would much rather watch a football game, but if you want to see sure tackling, take a look at a rugby game. The guys can't rely on pads or, more importantly, helmets and make good wrap-up tackles. And believe me, some of those rugby tackles are epic hits. Maybe we should get some football players out on the rugby field and teach them how to hit and tackle. Well, I remember a long time ago they polled players. This is back in the 70s. And they asked them, if you had to give up one piece of equipment, your helmet or your shoulder pads, which would it be? And they all said, the majority said, I'd rather give up my helmet, keep my shoulder pads. Because back then, they used the shoulder pads to tackle. You know, the majority said, I'd rather keep my shoulder pads.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not sure if that's the case anymore, but
yeah, because they don't use them.
Right.
You don't need what you don't use. Logan Mankin's not at practice. Did you read that already?
I did not read that yet.
Aaron Hernandez, Mike Wright, Sebastian Vollmer, and Logan Mankin's unknown.
Strippers tells us that Haynesworth was back. I knew that. Thank
Actually, you.
You
said 92's out there.
Two times.
98's out there, too. You know that?
Money.
Ask yourself. Let's see. Lynn says, not sure if you've talked about this yet, but it was tweeted that Brady cut his hair. It is considerably shorter in the picture. He has a hat on, and it looks pretty short.
Yep.
A while back, Andy said, no quarterback with long hair has won anything. Well, here's a start. What can the defense do this year to even become a mid-pack defense in the NFL?
Tom Brady never shaves.
Stop the run, rush the passer, stop the pass. You know, competitively in any of those one things.
I think if they improved, you know, the pass rush, I think you'd be immeasurably better as a defense.
Yeah,
I think that one thing would improve you, because I think your offense is going to have the opposition in passing situations more often than not. And if you can get after the passer, you know, like the way the Colts do. The Colts don't play great defense, but they get the lead, and they get after you with Mathis and Freeney.
Or just the 2007 Patriots.
The Patriots can do it that way.
At least the Colts have Mathis and Freeney. 2007 Patriots had Mike Vrabel, who went from 5.5 sacks or 8 sacks to 12.
12.5.
You know, the only problem with that theory is the way you started it. You're going to have teams in passing situations in the regular season. You might not have a 14 or 17-point lead in the postseason.
Correct.
So you're not going to get these faux sacks when you're just allowed to pin your ears back and go.
And that's one reason why the Colts have won Super Bowl and not five.
Because they were a finesse team.
Absolutely.
So Rolando McClain was right.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. Do you?
But I also don't take it necessarily as a
bad thing.
As a shot.
No, I don't.
You've
either.
Decided this is your team.
This is how you've just constructed your team.
You don't win, then it was a mistake.
No, and I'll guarantee you
won a lot of games.
After the Patriots win on Sunday, I'll guarantee you there'll be a lot of, you know, sort of snippy little comments making fun of the Raiders from the Patriots linemen in particular about being a finesse team.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's what they're going to do to motivate. That's fine. That's Belichick 101.
Well, Belichick obviously believes it. The week that McClain said they're finesse, he went out and worked out three fullbacks or two fullbacks, right? The mark of a team that's not finesse is a fullback.
We're just doing due diligence, Andy.
Bob writes in, it's been a while since I emailed, but when did become a bad thing to admit that the Patriots players aren't what we hype them up to be? I heard people say on message boards that we have one all-pro at every level of this defense, Mayo, Wilfort, McCourty, and Chung, and if you even remotely argue the contrary, makes you a reactionary hater. But the truth, like Paul and Andy said, this isn't a reaction to a three-game stretch. This team has been awful on defense for the better part of a decade, or half a decade. Either the scheme is completely flawed, unlikely, or these all-pros aren't the caliber we make them to be.
Whoa. Why is it it's possible that the scheme is somewhat flawed. Why do we automatically leave that?
He said it's either or.
But he said unlikely. He threw an unlikely in there.
Okay.
Or was that you?
Unlikely. No, he put that in there.
Oh, was that you?
I just have to check. Sometimes he does that.
Put real all-pro players like Asamoah, Patrick Willis, Nagata, and Polamalu on the same defense, and you'll see four game-breaking players on the same team wrecking things, not giving up 500 yards a game to Carson Palmer, Chad Henne, and Matt Flynn.
But that was my question yesterday. If I put these players in different schemes, would we call Gerard Mayo a playmaker? Would we call Vince Wilfork a playmaker? Would we call, you know what I mean? These are the athletic guys that you think should be your playmakers. Would they be elsewhere? Right?
I don't know.
Then you'd say, is it the scheme? Oh, maybe the scheme doesn't allow them. Maybe the scheme is too tight.
And enough with all the bend but don't break crap. This team bleeds points and yards equally. I didn't feel safe with a 21-point lead to the Bills. I kid you not. There's nothing wrong with admitting our team doesn't
have... You're
not
the only one that didn't feel safe with that. I got a text from somebody in the building that said, this game isn't over. I was mocking him.
There's nothing wrong with admitting our team doesn't have dynamic playmakers on defense other than simultaneously admitting you had a bad D. But to continually deceive ourselves by calling them impact players is doing us no good. Wilfork is a good nose tackle, but he doesn't take over games like Nagata, Raji.
Nada.
Nagata.
Even when he's asked to. One gap penetrate. Mayo is dependable linebacker, but I will do handstands next time I see him make a play in coverage over the middle or actually stuff a running back. Chung is great when he's in the box, away from coverage and healthy. McCurdy was great last year, but he's slumping bad. I can't get an accurate read on him just yet. And by the way, the new iPhone app is amazing, and as always, you three are the best radio for a West Coast fan, despite Paul's balding fatness, Fred's fat shoulders, and Andy's T-Rex arms. It's Conrad in Los Angeles.
That would be another addition to
Thanks,
my little
Conrad.
Idea. Eric, I came up with an idea. Can you draw it for us? We do some sort of a commercial that takes all of us into one beast, the PFW beast.
Yep.
So
like a transformer.
Be a thing, massive head. That's my contribution. A massive nose. That's your contribution.
Sure.
Fat shoulders for Fred's contribution. Fat belly for Paul's contribution.
Right.
But it might, the big head might be kind of bald and graying. Like, if
okay,
we just
so
morphed all four of us into one person.
Sort of assimilate all of our
cowboy
our
boots
worst
for
qualities.
You. Yeah.
And,
I have no
new ones,
formal
black ones
artistic
that are really,
training.
Really bad. Just because, you know, you're not a man who can pull that kind of stuff off. You know,
neither are you.
No.
He gets really mad when you give him fashion critique.
Eric's here.
Well, from people who don't have no fashion sense, yes.
I was told by Lindsay I looked very good yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Eric's here.
Hi, Fred.
She didn't go
either. What happened to your... Did somebody shoot you with a dart? What happened?
My head? I have a pimple.
That's a good line. He had to break out the makeup yesterday for the TV show.
Now it looks like you played with it and it's like infected. It's like a red scab on it.
I did.
No good.
Not much good news to report from practice, guys. No Logan Mankins.
Unknown. From parts unknown.
Yeah. He finished the game, I recall, right?
Yeah.
If memory serves. No Vollmer either still. No Hernandez, despite his somewhat cryptic predictions on trying to get out there this week. And obviously no Mike Wright. But full pads for the first time in a couple
Chung's
of weeks.
Chung's out there?
Yeah. Chung. Haynesworth returned.
Yeah.
So that's the good news. A.J. Eads has signed with the Colts. I'm sure you talked about that already?
No.
Okay.
I saw it, but...
Oh, my. Everybody just replaces a white linebacker from Iowa with another white linebacker from Iowa. Didn't Angerer get hurt the other night?
Oh, did he?
Oh, got to get Eads. We had Tarpinian hurt. Got to get Eads.
Mm.
Maybe white linebackers out of Iowa not named Chad Greenway stink.
Maybe.
Sorry, proceed.
But anyway, he's no longer on the team. Gerard Warren wearing his new old jersey number, 98.
And 92 back out there.
And 92 was back out there.
Yeah, that's what Fred told me.
Like in the middle of a sentence, he just yells, 92's back out there. And I go, who's 92?
Yeah, you haven't
you
seen him often enough to know
exactly.
His number. Right?
He's not.
I made that comment and got declared negative.
There is no immediate, 92 is Haynesworth. You got to tell me Haynesworth's out there. I haven't seen
it's
enough
not
from
like
him.
12 is out
right.
there.
Right, yeah. 12.
8-5.
Yeah.
You know.
I still struggle with that one.
Well, but yeah, his last name
is it Ocho Cinco?
Well, but you know, the
time to 86.
You speak Spanish. So full pads, I mentioned that, first time in a while.
Yeah, they're banging.
They have to.
You know, if they can hit the guy, because based on the tackling we saw on the field on Sunday, they might not use those pads.
Right. And
I wish it were a joke.
I think you can accurately guess how many black jerseys there were this week, Andy.
None.
All of them. They're mourning that loss, so they just all wore black.
Sure.
No one gets them after a loss?
No one gets them after a loss.
Oh, yeah, no. Not even Rusty Benson. Does anybody know what that means?
Rusty Benson?
Ross Ventrone's Twitter
handle?
Whatever is Rusty Benson or something like that. And then he like quotes it and, sorry, Gronkowski, we're not accepting any new students in Benson University. And I don't know what it means.
It's an inside joke, obviously, that we're not meant to be privy to.
Well, at least we have unity if we have nothing else. If Rusty Benson is like this interactive part of the whole team with Gronkowski, the star, and these other guys, they may stink on the field, but they're a tight unit off.
Starts there, doesn't it?
He needs a pep talk, Fred. You let him down today.
Yeah.
You know what let me down? The defense.
Yeah, but I thought they were going to be an impact defense. Us off the ledge.
Ever since they put up that effort in Tampa, they have gone down the crapper.
I thought there would be at least three examples today of either you or me getting told to shut up.
Well, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have his A game. No. All he keeps saying is, it's only week three. Well, it's actually week four, but
it'll get better.
If McCourty straightens out and makes half the plays, you'll see remarkable difference in this defense.
Well, I'll tell you what a line that you won't like that I used in the point counterpoint on PFW TV, Fred. You know how Bill likes to show teams the quarter pole of a horse race and who do you guys think's going to win this race and who's going to win it?
Right.
If this defense were at the quarter pole of a horse race, they'd stop the race and shoot the horse. Wow. That's how bad it is.
See, now, shut up, Fat Mouth. That would have been the time for it. He's trying to get you to remember.
Is this really not the worst defense you've ever seen?
This is the guy who, after the Tampa Bay preseason game, said 16-0.
And I just said I've never been more wrong over a single game analysis.
He gets very hot and cold. So, you know, if he was coaching this team, he would have just...
There'd be wholesale changes.
He would have cut everybody on the squad.
No cut, just bench.
You know, so you can't really
take accountability isn't bad.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Right. I might be a little like that.
You can't really take what Andy's saying right now as...
You took it when I said they'd go 16-0.
No, I didn't. Because I always knew they'd be
15-1. Well, major rule of engagement.
They weren't 15-1. They were 16-0, you idiot.
No, I said...
There's a banner out in the stadium.
I thought you were talking about this year when you said they were going to go
16-0. Where else can you just call your boss an idiot on
the
air and get away with it?
The year that they went 16-0 in week
two, this job.
When I said they're going to go 16-0, did you disagree with me or agree with me?
Did he say that?
Yes, I did.
He just called you an idiot.
Yeah. Can we focus on the positives?
What?
Hey, boss, you're a loser!
If I make reactionary comments that are positive, it's okay. But if I make reactionary comments that are negative...
It doesn't matter whether they're okay or not. You make reactionary comments.
The unfortunate part is that
they're right. Correct?
End of story.
Either one of them is okay today.
They're wrong.
When?
Like when you said they were going to be 16-0 against Tampa Bay.
I need to learn not to do it in the preseason. That's a lesson that Andy needs to learn.
Not to do it,
because when I do it generally, when I say John Lynch done, they cut him the next day. When I say Big Cat Williams done, they cut him the next day.
There's a whole body of people called Patriots Nation. That's their job, is to be reactionary.
Me
too. Your job is to do analysis.
Instant
and
analysis.
Not be
reactionary.
I have to be reactionary with some fact.
Right.
Right? This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
And just because you say something is true after three games doesn't mean it will be true after six games.
True.
But that doesn't mean that we're wrong right now.
Right now,
this defense
worst defense I've ever seen in the Belichick era. Yeah. Is it okay if I said right now this is the best I've ever seen Tom Brady throw the football?
Did I ever say that it wasn't right for him to say that?
No, you said I shouldn't
be
reactionary. You said I'm paid to not
be
reactionary.
As far as talking people off the ledge, I'm talking to our listeners.
That's you.
You know, if we're going to listen to Andy say it's the worst defense ever, you had to listen to him when he said they were going to be 16-0 after the Tampa Bay preseason. We know that wasn't right either.
Well, I need to learn.
You picked him to be 15-1. What's the difference?
And I still do.
I know, until they lose the second
game. I'll stick with that.
The positive that I can spin towards it is it starts out sounding like a negative. We've yet to get to the tough part of the schedule. We all slated those eight games in the center of the season.
Right.
But the good news is some of the teams in those eight games
look like crap. Yeah. They're easier
the
games
Colts,
now.
Certainly.
Right.
But I would also include the Jets and the Cowboys and the Steelers in that mix. They all look very beatable.
They look
flawed. They may not be in a month. I mean, feel differently, because we may feel whatever. But right now, that eight-game stretch looks significantly easier.
So they may look different in a month.
We will, too.
We
potentially.
Might. We might.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Right.
I think
who do you
Cowboys...
think feels better about their defense, though? The sucky Packers, the sucky Jets, or the sucky Patriots?
I have no idea.
Because all three suck right now.
I can only
talk
about...
Now put them in order, Eric. Which three sucky defense go 1-3?
Packers, Jets, Patriots.
Okay, that's the right answer. Thank you. Because they at least have some history to fall back on. We got nothing.
I think the Cowboys defensively could cause problems, too.
In.
I think the Cowboys defensively could cause you problems, too.
No, I know, but...
With the psychopath running the show there.
Those other teams have bad defenses right now, the Packers and the Jets, but... They're supposed to be good defenses. And everybody keeps saying, why isn't anybody complaining about them? Because they have a history.
And it's not the same.
Why isn't
the
sky falling that Brady threw four picks on Sunday? Because he's probably not going to throw four picks again for another 2 years. Because he doesn't do it that often. He has a track record. We don't have a track record to fall back on. We don't have current performance to fall back on. We don't have the future to fall back on.
The Packers
have
the future to fall back on?
I don't know.
The Packers have had three games and they played poorly defensively once.
He thinks if he talks really fast, you won't actually hear what he says.
Like, I don't care how many yards Cam Newton threw for. They didn't score.
I actually did kind of mean something. I mean, do you really think that Jermaine Cunningham's going to be great? Because if you did, that would be a future to fall back on. correct?
No, it still doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
I'm let's get Paul, you're a very good unbiased observer. If they had all these guys that were going to be great at the end of the year, well, Eric's not even listening, so I can't go to him.
I think that's part of the...
Doing my notes. I've got to get this up on the blog.
I mean, what is going
to
be
that's
great
That's part of
the
argument
the
I was trying to make
now.
About bringing the veterans in.
Like, if we had Robert Quinn, for example,
taking
we might
young
think
players
he'd be great
off the field, and now you don't know about those guys. Cunningham being probably the biggest example, who's not playing through three games at all.
Now, it's helping me a little bit, because I have a lunch bet for eight
right.
sacks with him.
Now, maybe he's not playing because he's not good enough to play. Maybe Bill just said, you know what, I got to do better than him.
You know what, I should have listened to Urban 3 years ago.
You know, but Brandon Spikes played a lot this past week, hasn't played a ton.
No.
You know, there's some examples of other guys as well.
No, Josh Barrett is still getting his legs under him.
You have two defensive linemen on PUP that I'm not sure that had to go on PUP.
They certainly
and Brayson
felt enough about Barrett and Brown to get rid of Sanders and Merriweather. They didn't have to get rid of those guys. There was no salary implication.
They also felt good about Terrence Wheatley and Darius. They can be wrong.
No, absolutely.
Okay, as long as we just admit that, they can be as wrong as we can be.
Well, who's saying that they can't be wrong?
Now, this is the Fred I was looking for.
But
thank
you're
you.
Saying
thank you for showing
because
up.
They think Barrett has some talent that we should just assume he's going to be good. Why? They assume Darius Butler had talent.
Well, what are you going to do? Are you just going to say everything?
No, if you ever listen to what I say I think Barrett can play. I think Barrett can help this defense. Sergio Brown, I'm not so sure.
Well,
I don't really have high hopes for Sergio Brown.
Maybe when Chung comes back,
then
they don't
it'll
need
be
to
Barrett
have Sergio
Chung,
Brown
right.
out there.
But you don't just assume because they put a guy out there that he's going to be good.
Well, listen.
They put a lot of guys out there they thought would be good that weren't.
In terms of depth
you
and safety.
Like Barrett because he likes us.
No, I like that he's big. He's athletic.
I like his.
He looks like a guy.
As Mike Felger says, I like the package.
I get in trouble because I liked. Who was that guy out of Virginia Tech who would have been my starting safety who sucked? Yeah, this is where.
Macho Harris?
No. The big guy, Virginia Tech. Anyone? Mrs. Draft, you got it?
This year's draft?
No, like 3 or 4 years ago. He's been in the league. I believe he went to Green Bay for a while, got cut there. Anyway.
Drawn a blank. Sorry.
But we're all wrong at various times, so we can't just say,
Bigby?
Oh, they felt good. No. They felt good about Barrett. They felt good about Brown, so let's feel good about they felt good. Why?
Let's feel good about they felt
They're wrong sometimes.
Right, but right now it's too early to say they're wrong, right?
About
Not
who?
Necessarily.
About who?
Well, is it too early to say they're right? What? I mean, you can't
who?
Make a judgment on Barrett
isn't that
at
what
this
we're
point
paid
in the
to,
season.
Oh, isn't that
okay.
what we're paid
I think
to do,
it's
though?
Too early to make a judgment on Barrett.
Aren't we
absolutely.
Paid to observe games
no.
and say we think the guy can play or we think he can't play, we think the defense will be good, we
sure,
think the defense
absolutely,
be good?
Sure, absolutely, but you don't think that Barrett can improve?
I just said I think can. Barrett can improve, and I think Barrett can play.
Okay.
I think he can be a number two safety in this league.
And I think that's the reason why they felt okay getting rid of Merriweather.
Who's criticizing the decision to get rid of Merriweather
well,
and Sanders?
Oh, me a little bit. I would have played Sanders on Sunday.
And look, at the end of the season,
James Sanders will be locked in as my third safety forever.
But that hasn't been what we're talking about. No. We're not sitting here saying, oh, they really blew it with the...
But listen, I will say at the end of the season, if every time Patrick Chung gets hurt this year, the secondary collapses because
really
they had no depth.
Whole,
I will say it was
I'm
a mistake
say this
to get rid of
again.
James
I said this yesterday. I didn't see a whole lot of difference between Sunday and the previous 2 weeks.
No, but that's
the
an
difference
issue.
To me in those three games was what the offense did in terms of the turnovers. That's why there was a little more points
well,
scored.
The reason you don't notice the safeties is because the corners are terrible right now. You haven't gotten to the safeties
That'd
being
be
a part
true.
Of it, but the safeties gave up plays.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Fred Jackson play,
Absolutely.
The play in the end zone where they both were kind
right.
of lost
well, here's
for
the
a
problem.
Minute.
Absolutely, you know, and they gave up plays in the first two games, too.
Right, right. But right.
Chung was
let's
out there,
not pretend
so
that
like,
they
like Fred says, you know, his Pro Bowl season.
But let's not pretend they weren't adversely affected by safety play on Sunday.
They were.
So they could
they
have been
were.
Better had Sanders or Merriweather been out there, had they kept them.
Possibly,
They
yeah.
may have been worse.
Sure.
I've seen James Sanders miss, as much as I think he's a great tackler, I've seen him come up and miss guys.
Hey, I've seen
every safety in the NFL
I
has.
I said it earlier in the show. I've seen Merriweather take that route that Josh Barrett took on that
right, but I was
game,
taking
game-ending play.
The positive. Everybody thinks Sanders is a great tackler, and he would have made that
no,
play.
I know. You're
blah,
trying
blah,
to
blah.
Bend over backwards and say you're not biased, even though we all know what you are.
Accurate and dependable. I'm like
you're
the weather
in love
forecast.
With the safety...
Not anymore. Well, Barrett, because he watched the show.
So I think there's obviously turmoil going on right now in the defense, and I can just imagine what that defensive meeting was. You
I
know,
don't like that word,
turmoil.
Yeah,
yeah. I think
because turmoil implies like maybe the plan isn't working, and we got to scrap the plan.
No, I'm not saying on the part of the coaches. I'm talking
oh, okay.
about the players.
I didn't read the story today, but I'm told that show friend Greg Bedard wrote about the secondary and. Specifically, and sort of pointing a finger at Josh Boyer. I didn't read it. Did you see it?
Yeah. Let's look at the low man of the totem pole, right.
And I also thought,
why don't we point at the safeties coach?
Well, I also thought that Matt Patricia was named the safety coach. Isn't he the guy that's supposed to, in essence, tie that all together?
And he's the de facto defensive coordinator for anyone who observes training camp action.
But the reason why I bring it up is I'm wondering, that seems to be a sort of odd observation.
But he doesn't have more time to fish.
Because I think,
I'm wondering if maybe. People are, players are complaining about the coaching.
Well, that would be really
they've been
bad.
Complaining about that position for years. I mean, it's always, they complained about
that
Mangini.
That, to me, is a concern.
They complained about the Collier guy. They canned him. Corwin Brown last year. I mean, the turnover on this team, that's been a constant back there.
And that's the spot. It's always the spot.
Yeah, that's my point.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but again, I go back to McCourty.
I mean,
went into the season.
You could, but you can't.
You went into the season, whether you're a fan or probably the coach is thinking, McCourty's pretty good. We can depend on him. They made him a captain, for crying out loud. And
he was voted a captain by his peers.
He's come in, and he has been part of the problem. You know,
Do you think Josh Boyer said, you know that stuff you were doing last year, don't do it anymore?
No, but I think, Andy, when you said a lot of this is just matchups. You know, guys just not winning their matchup.
Right.
I think you look at McCourty, and that's absolutely the case.
Yes.
There's nothing about scheme about letting a guy run by you. There's nothing about scheme about just not being able to break up a pass. That's just not being in the right place to make a play.
Well, it depends who you believe, though. There's been a lot of spin, and I don't know whether it's spin, where it's coming from.
Man in zone?
He's in position. No, not even beyond that.
Oh.
Because that's not a Boyer question. Boyer doesn't get to decide whether to play man or zone, but he's in position. You even see he went up with the wrong arm, or he's there. It's bad technique. It's fixable. Blah blah blah. I don't really agree with
it. There was one play.
Well,
there was one play down around the 5-yard line opening night where Brandon Marshall outfought him for the ball. Great. I don't think you could do anything more defensively. It's the one play I remember that I said. You know what? Sometimes you got to tip the hat to the other guy. He made a play.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the other completions he's allowed, he has not been in position to do anything about.
I'll go back to this, and I firmly believe this. If McCourty had made 50% of the plays come his way this season,
we would see a vastly different defense. Sound like he was in position to make some of these plays and hasn't.
Guys
he's
are
getting
by him.
Beaten.
Well, whatever.
He's getting
whatever
beaten.
The reason. You know, if he wasn't getting beaten, if he got the right arm up, if he just was, you know, breaking up half the plays.
Yeah,
but that's
Paul,
like,
if your aunt, if Ocho Cinco were catching
balls,
all the balls
but
thrown
isn't
to him,
that something
Ocho
that,
wouldn't be an
isn't
issue.
Isn't that something that going into this year would say, well, that's a pretty plausible expectation of McCourty? That
yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's why it's the biggest concern.
And I think
but
that's,
I think
if
every
Barrett
team
sucks,
in the league
Josh
say,
Barrett.
If half of those third down conversions we allowed, we had someone break up the play, we'd be all right.
No, I know, but I'm specifically talking about McCourty, who was a guy that we thought could depend
on Sunday,
going into the
but that was dangerous based on 1 year.
Did you watch any of the Jets game on Sunday? You didn't because you were flying home. Antonio Cromartie had one of those games for him where he has one of them like every month or so. He had four penalties. And he extended drives all over the place. Jets win the game if he doesn't have those plays. That's a guy they rely on. They go into a season saying, yeah, we're pretty solid at our two corners.
And has more of a track record.
He cost them a game on Sunday.
But now we're talking three games with McCourty, right?
No, I'm just saying, you can't. It's not just a magical fix to say if he can make half the plays, he's getting beaten like Cromartie got beaten on Sunday.
And the bigger issue is, the whole defense of him, that they're pretty good receivers. Well, now it's Burleson, then it was Marshall, then it was Jackson, then it was Stevie Johnson with some Jones
Don't
mixed in.
Don't forget about Donald Jones. He's
so
tough.
I mean, we're going down the ladder. Pretty soon you're going to be saying it was, you know, Sean Morey.
And the thing that's scaring me is that when Eric comes back and he tells me that on the first play of the game that they went to the top of the screen when Stevie Johnson ran by Bodden for like a 40-yard gain. On the bottom of the screen, David Nelson evidently ran right by McCourty and was wide open.
Uncovered.
He I mean, how many of those plays that we don't even know about?
Yeah.
Was it a play action? Did they bite on the play action or something? Or?
No.
No.
Fitzpatrick, I think, was in the gun and just looked. He must have had his intended target to the left, but he never went through a progression. But Nelson
Johnson
was like,
5 yards behind Bodden, too. You know?
And there's not much. Generally, when you see a guy 5 yards open, you don't assume the guy on the other side's 20.
Right. You don't say, I got that 40 yards. Let me see what I got over here.
Let me just see what else is out there. Yeah. No, but that would have been an easy touchdown because there was absolutely nobody there. The safety was too far over it. Would have never gotten over there in time. Would have been an easy score for the Bills.
Well, I have.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. I still think that this is fixable from the defensive side of the ball. I don't think we have to worry about the offense coming out of the Bills game. I think the offense is going to be fine.
I'm concerned about it being fixable.
Oh, the defense?
Yeah, I am too.
I don't know if they have the personnel to fix it.
But I'm positive. I look at the offense.
That's why I think will win.
And this is an offensive league this year.
Still win
if you
a
can
lot
score
of
points, you're going to be competitive.
And even better than last year, when I don't think it was a proven offense in terms of you can defend them and they'll still make plays. I think this year, the development of Rob Gronkowski, the extension of his,
he's unguardable.
You can't defend him.
He is unguardable,
and
even with two people.
That's why Ocho Cinco was actually brought in, to win one-on-one battles in the postseason. You know, Welker and Branch can't do it. If they get, how did Bill put it, if they come up, blah, 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 in the documentary and take away Welker. I think Bill believes that. Certain times they're going to take those guys away.
Slam down
Ocho.
We can't run the ball.
Did I hear right? Somebody said that they were doubling Ocho?
Yeah, that's
on
absolutely
Sunday?
Incorrect.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I didn't think so.
Because I was going to say, if they are, and that's what he's at, fine, I'll take that.
No, that's not him. There was a play that we immediately got a bunch of tweets on where Welker was in the slot and ran straight. And Ocho came across the middle, and as he's coming across the middle, his guy's coming, and Welker's guy inside got caught in the wash. It was a rub play. It wasn't an intentional pick. It wasn't a penalty. It was good offense. And every team does it. And the guy that was covering Welker just couldn't get around all the trash, and he ended up wide open. And everybody said, well, there's Ocho, took two guys.
Right.
He didn't. No. It wasn't a double. It wasn't like a conscious choice
by
the Bills defender
right.
to go after Ocho Cinco. He just couldn't get to Welker. That was a 33-yard catch in the first drive.
Oh, yeah.
Andy and I were both like, that's not double teaming. That's
right.
Just circumstantial.
All right. Well, luckily we got another day to talk about this, and you know, hopefully Andy will be a little bit calmed down.
No, it's not my fault. It's your fault. You're failing to prop me up.
Well,
your job is to tell me good things.
I honestly don't have the answers right now.
I think the best news.
You're like Tony Sperano down in Miami. I just don't have any answers.
The best news, I think, is what Andy alluded to and Fred, you alluded to, the schedule, that pack of eight games that we all thought was going to be really tough. Everybody always asked you, you made a prediction of whatever in the preseason. How do you feel now? I picked 11-5. I think they're going to be a little better than 11-5 because some of the games I thought were going to be really tough don't look tough to me anymore.
Right.
Indianapolis.
But in 3 weeks, maybe they'll look tough again.
But I can't imagine a scenario that they lose the Indianapolis game at home.
No, I can't
either. But if that's the case, then. If that's
Sunday
the case, then.
If Manning were to come back, I would say that's a losable game. I don't care what the Colts record would be, but he ain't coming back.
But if that holds true of you know what it's looking like the Jets might be and the Steelers might be and
I still think they'll split with the Jets.
Well,
but
what
Pittsburgh,
happens when
I thought,
you get
would
in the
be
playoffs.
A tough game. I don't think it'll be a tough game now.
But then these
they'll play tough. They'll play tough teams in the playoffs.
But they're the same teams that they're playing in the regular season.
Not necessarily. Could be the Bills. They could be the tough team that
could be
by
the
that
Ravens.
Time, right?
Well, they're competitive. It could be the Ravens, who they don't play, and we won't.
No,
see
but if
them,
we can get better, then the teams, other teams, are going to get better.
And
when you reach the postseason,
and it could be
the
Jets
teams are
again.
At their best,
well,
theoretically.
Well, the Patriots will assumably
hopefully.
Be better,
but it could be the
hopefully.
Jets too. Yeah. There's a lot of teams. I mean, right. I think they'll split with the Jets.
But I'm saying right now, is there a team in the AFC that the Patriots really can't beat?
No.
Well, that's pretty good.
We've done it. It took 2 hours, but we're ending on a high note.
Right, but
they're
the
in
side,
the Super Bowl.
Fred,
I love
wait
it.
A minute. Fred,
is there a team in the AFC that the Ravens can't beat?
Right.
Probably
is there
not.
A team in the AFC the Chargers can't beat?
No, but that's all you want to do.
Is there a team in the AFC the Jets can't beat?
Get in the tournament.
But that's all you want to be is competitive. And then when you got Tom Brady.
I want to win.
I thought we wanted to win titles.
That gives you the edge.
Screw competitive. I want the title.
I mean, every coach says that. Our goal every year is to get into the playoffs.
The one flaw with that argument
is
the last two postseasons.
Right.
You've laid an egg. Yeah. So you've proved you
and
can
I
win in
said
the regular
the same
season.
Thing
last year.
Year
more than ever, 14-2, you dominated in the regular season and then got dominated in the postseason.
Last year I would have said the same thing going to the playoffs. Is there a team that the Patriots can't beat? No.
I
2 years ago I would have.
Hindsight, I'd
two
say.
2 years ago in 2009, the wild card loss, going into the playoffs, I would have said, yeah, there's a lot of teams that I don't think the Patriots can beat.
Hindsight, I'd say Ravens.
They happen to play one of them.
Now, right now, if you were talking about the NFC, I don't think they can beat the Packers.
Oh, I don't either.
You know, I don't think they can beat the Packers.
I don't think they
can
beat
and
the Saints.
They may
either.
Not be able to beat the Saints because of their attacking style on defense against Brady and their offense. So there's two teams right there that I'm willing to say right now the Patriots probably couldn't beat.
Luckily, if we play
but
them,
not in the AFC.
It'll be an Indy.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right,
although
John, you're up next.
I think they have four NFC games that are all losable.
John Rook,
they're all winnable,
in
too.
In the playbook.
I like it. It's good conversation here.
What's going on?
I want to win too. Just to go on the record, I want to win.
You
too.
Don't just want to compete.
I don't want to be just. I don't want to be just competitive. I want
to
win.
Yeah, but you got to get in the playoffs in order to win.
No
remember
question.
When Fred used to spin? And we're raping and we're pillaging and just give us the.
How many more cliches off? Have you gone through today, though? You got to one step at a time.
But we're also damn lucky in
Andy
this town.
Andy moves beyond cliches.
Spoiled.
Butch's quotes.
You know, people in this town, we forgot how hard it is to stay competitive.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you're right. It's because everybody's spoiled.
That's right. Exactly. I don't know why you saved it for the last absolutely 15 right minutes. This is the stuff Andy and I were looking for from
2 hours of this, and I'd be right, and they're in the Super Bowl already.
And he would have had me prop back up.
I would
I'd
think
okay.
As learned analyst, you would know that, but I guess I have to remind you of that.
Learned analyst.
I learned it from the last two postseasons. That's the problem.
Okay, John, well, have a good show. John's up next, 2 to 4, with Eric. Eric will be with him.
And Monty Poole from Bay Area News. We're
Monty
talking about
Poole.
The resurgence of the Raiders.
All right, and then Pete Shepard from 4 to 6. We'll see you tomorrow.